The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday. It's July 30th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a bizarre incident involving a crash and the driver jumping out of the sunroof of the car happened at about 6:50 p.m. last Friday, right here in our area where we are. Three cars traveling eastbound on Monument Road near City Avenue slowed down because of a stopped car ahead. The driver of a red Cadillac apparently did not see the cars had come to a stop and slams right into the rear of the third vehicle, causing a chain reaction accident. Video shows the driver of the Cadillac then jump out of the car through the sunroof, through the open sunroof, while the car was still moving, inching towards the 6ABC building.
Oh, they got good video of it,
it's
too.
It's perfect.
It's awesome.
It's like it was staged for a TV show.
Yep.
So he realizes that he forgot something in the car, and he dives back in to get it before running off and losing his flip-flops along the way.
Oh my God.
But listen, the whole thing is bizarre. So it took over 21 minutes for Pennsylvania State Police to arrive on the scene to investigate. All this time, the driver of the Cadillac is...
They're right around the corner.
Why did it take 20 minutes?
It's literally on Belmont. That's like two streets over.
So the driver of the Cadillac is nowhere in sight until he arrives back in the back of another state police vehicle almost 44 minutes after the accident. 46 minutes after the accident, an ambulance arrives to check on those injured, including a child. All of the injuries appeared to be minor. Now, an hour after the accident, police appear to issue the driver of the Cadillac a citation, and then they leave. So somehow, an hour and 17 minutes after the accident, while paramedics were still on the scene caring for the injured, the driver of the Cadillac gets in his car and is able to drive away.
What kills me is that we assume the door wasn't working, or did he just want to, like, Dukes of Hazzard it out of there?
Or maybe the steering wheel stopped working? Maybe he messed up the, what's that? I don't know.
The drivetrain?
Yeah,
quite possibly. I don't know.
He saw it as the quickest way to get out, I guess.
Through the roof.
Right?
I guarantee you the guy was on his phone watching the video. I mean, he doesn't even slow down the slightest bit and just slams right in. Mm-hmm. I'll guarantee a dude was texting or looking, FaceTiming somebody and immediately just slammed
it. Why did he come out the sunroof?
I don't know. I guess he wasn't wearing his seatbelt.
It's possible the impact screwed up the driver's side door. Because if you look at the crash side, it is the driver's side, and that might have compressed the quarter panel in front of the door and locked it.
Wait a minute.
But anyway, they just opened it up.
No, it's open.
Danny's just stupid.
We're watching the video, yes.
Or he wanted to look cool and he knew that he was going to be on camera.
Oh, wait, he drove away, too.
Yeah, it's what Kathy said. Oh, like,
so an hour and 17
hour
minutes after the they were still on the scene helping the injured, and he gets in his car and just drives off.
Goodbye. Okay. Keep in touch.
It's so bizarre.
Okay, and then he was able to steer, so all of our theories are like...
Cars were just shot down in 4 seconds worth of video. So we have to surrender this to the court.
Yeah. State police have not yet revealed what the driver has been cited for.
Okay, if anything.
This is a terrible story. A 59-year-old man from Reading drowned in Atlantic City on Monday morning while trying to save his 11-year-old son from the ocean. People near the New Jersey Avenue beach noticed the commotion at about 9:30 in the morning. A Good Samaritan turned out to be a former police officer of New York State. He jumped in with a boogie board to help. Police say by the time he got there, the man was underwater. First responders quickly filled the boardwalk and started CPR. Police say the man was taken to AtlanticCare Regional Medical Center where he died. The man's son somehow made it to shore on his own. Police say he was treated at the hospital and he's expected to be okay.
This happened a couple of summers ago, and the guy ended up at our beach. It happened like a little bit closer up
his body. Wildwood.
Yeah, so I mean a mile
up. Oh, I remember
up.
This.
Yeah, and there were rip ties and all that, and the kid got sucked out and the guy went out to try and save him, and you know, the kid ended up being okay. Ugh. And then that guy, it's just
so sad.
Oh, yeah. Terrible.
And how terrible is this kid going to feel for the rest of his life? It's just...
The incident happened before the lifeguards went on duty at 10 a.m. Authorities remind everyone, even if you're a strong swimmer, to swim near a lifeguard in the event that a rip current does come through. There was also another story actually out of Levittown, Bucks County, where I think he was like 4 or 5 years old, and he was filling his water gun up in the backyard pool, and he fell in. And then his 7-year-old sister somehow came over and was able to pull him up so that he could breathe, and the parents heard the commotion, and they came out. Fortunately, both of them are okay, but, I mean, just fell right in trying to fill up a water gun. A hacker gained access to personal information from more than 100 million Capital One credit applications, the bank said Monday, as federal authorities arrested a suspect in the case.
What's in your computer?
Yeah, right? PJ Thompson, who also goes by the handle Erotic, was charged with a single count of computer fraud and abuse in United States District Court in Seattle. Thompson made an initial appearance in court and was ordered to remain in custody pending a detention hearing on Thursday. The hacker got information, including credit scores and balances, plus the Social Security numbers of about 140,000 customers, the bank said. It will offer free credit monitoring services to those affected. The FBI raided Thompson's residence Monday and seized digital devices. An initial search turned up files that referenced Capital One and other entities that may have been targets of attempted or actual network intrusion. Capital One, based in Virginia, said Monday it found out about the vulnerability in its system July 19th and immediately sought help from law enforcement, but the hack actually happened back in March. According to the FBI, someone emailed the bank 2 days before that, notifying it that leaked data had appeared on the code hosting site GitHub, which is owned by Microsoft. Apparently, they're saying this woman was bragging about it.
Yeah, and that's on social media.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Capital One said it believes it's unlikely that the information was used for fraud, but it will continue to investigate.
And maybe it's a case of, you know, they just pulled off the biggest data breach in history, and damn it, I have to let somebody know about this.
It's the kind of person who leaves their car through the sunroof.
But apparently this site is for, like, hackers like that. So that's probably
if you want to meet like-minded hackers, it's like a singles thing.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah. It's like J-Date, right?
Exactly. H-Date.
Yeah.
Hacker date. The data breach affected about 100 million.
And you're Jewish, too? Yeah. That's awesome. That's a double win.
Are you a farmer?
Farmers
triple
have their
win.
Site. Yeah.
Why did I know about this site earlier?
The data breach affected about 100 million people in the United States and 6 million in Canada. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Phillies have acquired left-hander Jason Vargas in the trade with the New York Mets. The Mets received minor league catcher Austin Bozart in the deal. 36-year-old Vargas is 6-5 with an ERA of just over 4 in 19 games this season. The 14-year veteran is 5-3 with a 3.34 ERA over his 12 most recent starts. The Phillies, who were off last night, returned to action tonight with the game at home against the San Francisco Giants. Tyler Beede will get the start for the Giants while Drew Smyly pitches for the Phillies. Game time is at 7:05. U.S. soccer president Carlos Cordeiro contended that analysis of Federation finances showed that it paid members of the women's national team millions of dollars more than the members of the men's national team for nearly a decade. Responding for the first time since the U.S. won the Women's World Cup, Cordeiro sent an open letter that included the results of the analysis of 10 years of financial data. According to the report, the women were paid $34.1 million by the Federation from 2010 to 2018. In salaries and bonuses, while members of the men's national team were paid $26.4 million by the Federation over the same period of time. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks a bunch, Kathy. We are set and loaded, ready to go for a Tuesday morning. We have Tab Tuesday taking place, and a special one at that today, correct, Casey? Because
yes,
we have an opportunity for somebody to get tattooed by one of the Ink Masters. Oh,
that's very cool. In studio next week, because the Wildwood Tattoo Convention is coming up. And so, you know, once or twice a year, we will have people back into the studio. We're working on getting you all of that information.
Yeah, things have changed with Tattoos Day. You go to Philadelphia Eddie's, get the tattoo done. It's a better environment. You can work with the tattoo artists a little bit closer. But on occasion, we will have a very special artist come into town, come into the studio, and go do it old school like we used to do the tattoo here.
It's very brag-worthy for getting one of these people to do your tattoo.
So we'll get the details on how you need to do that, but just get yourself set for a little texting this morning. Casey, you got some info?
Yeah, his name's James Vaughn.
Vaughn. Oh, James
that
Vaughn.
That would be really cool.
Wait, who did you say?
I thought it was James. He said James Bond. Oh my God. I love that guy.
No, James Vaughn was on Ink Master Season 1 and Season 7. He specializes in Japanese-style tattoos.
Okay. So all right. So are we ready to do that now, Marissa? I see. Okay. So text word tattoo to 39333. We'll pick a winner by the end of the show. And somebody's going to have to be here next week in order to... actually get that tattoo by the Ink Master here in our studio, which is pretty cool. We also have a meet and eat today. The Burger Brawl is coming up. It's not till September 15th, but they're getting set for it. Our buddy Rob, who put this whole thing on.
It's amazing.
From Rouge in Philadelphia, is going to be here along with some of the participating restaurants. So we're going to have BurgerFi and M20 stopping in. It'll bring samples of their wares.
Which is very cool, too, because we're not going to have to judge them. We used to do the pre-judging, and it was always impossible.
Yeah, there was a category. There was a category that we would help narrow down, and they bring in, like, you know, six restaurants, and we'd have to go through and sample them through the morning show and vote. And that was fun and everything. But
yes, meat sweats.
Yeah, it's a bit much in the morning to be eating all those burgers. So they're just going to come in, and we'll remind you about the event that is coming up and how you get your tickets and what it's all about and what's new and different this year. We'll probably talk to Rob later on and find out what's up. So these things and more are taking place. So we have our Belly Flop Championship, which is coming up on the 15th of this month. It's a rain date, and we're excited for this. So we'll get the details out to you as we get a little bit closer. But just kind of put that in your calendar now. On the 15th, get ready to go to Valley Forge Casino Resort and their Poolside Beach Club and get ready for our little event.
I'm looking forward to it.
We'd love for you to be there. And it's free, by the way. So details at WMR.com. All right, let's take a break. Come back in a second. The Entertainment Report. You know the routine. We'll also have a stupid question, give some stuff away. And we'll begin this Tuesday morning. We'll be right back.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Stupid question this morning. We're going to give away a pair of tickets for Six Flags Great Adventure. And the question that I have for you concerns artist Claude Monet. What style of artist was Monet known as? 215-263-WMMR. All right.
This is
pretty simple one. 215-263-WMMR. Call now and see if you know the answer. And Steve, Mo Monet? No.
No, not Mo Monet. By the way, which artist really pumps my nads? Which one?
Moliere.
Oh, okay.
That's a writer.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, he's an artist of sorts.
That's from the Breakfast Club. Thank you, Casey.
Pumps my nads.
I'm going to go through some birthdays today, Tuesday, July 30th, and there's a lot of them, so we shouldn't spend a whole lot of time on each person, but Christopher Nolan has his birthday, and what a lot of credits to him. Memento, Batman Begins, The Prestige. I just watched that last week again. The Dark Knight, Inception, Dark Knight Rises, Interstellar. So.
Incredible director. Yeah. And Dunkirk.
That is correct, yes.
Which I love.
He is 49 today. Also turning a year older is Arnold frickin' Schwarzenegger.
Yakety yak. Don't talk back.
Yes, Arnie is 72 years old today.
Stallone posted an Instagram video of him with Stallone celebrating the birthday. Those guys who actually used to be, as was indicated, you know, through the press, they were rivals. They were sort of arch rivals, and now they are the best of friends.
Yep.
And they're hanging out together and having a good old time.
Yep. Former governor of California, may I remind you. He's 72. Hilary Swank has her birthday today. I haven't really seen her in anything in quite a while. Not that I can recall.
How's she doing?
Wait, is she in that, there's a Netflix movie where there's an apocalypse and then there's a kid that's born.
Oh.
Is she in that one?
I have not watched that yet.
I Am Mother, yep.
Yeah, I Am Mother. Okay, yeah, Hilary Swank.
I actually downloaded that to watch on my flight, but I never got to
it. Is it a sci-fi thing? Is it like Second Coming of Christ, or what's the...
No, basically the world has no more people, but...
what's she doing?
But AI, artificial intelligence, is trying to recreate humankind or something like that.
So they created something. They, I guess, knew that the world was doomed, so they had all these... eggs and stuff like that, and then years and years later, they cracked an egg and had a baby.
All right. How do you like your baby?
Over me.
Yeah, please. I don't like my babies too runny.
Cracked an egg and had a baby.
Is Sounds like a great movie.
Yeah. Hillary Swank is
presented by Denny's.
45. Lisa Kudrow is turning 56 years old today.
Always super talented. Yep. Romy and Michelle, I just watched over the vacation.
Another super talented actor, Lawrence Fishburne, turns 58
Cowboy
years old today.
Cowboy Curtis from Pee Wee's Playhouse. Yep.
The first thing that I remember him in was Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
He was the orderly in that movie, and look where he went to, man. He's done so many great things.
Most recently in John Wick 3, Chapter 3, Parabellum.
And he's 58 today. Richard Linklater, another great director. Dazed and Confused, School of Rock, Boyhood, to name a few. He's 59 today. Actress Christine Taylor, former wife of Ben Stiller. Spot on Marsha Brady.
Love that.
In the Brady Bunch movies. The Wedding Singer, Dodgeball. She's great. 48 today.
I love how they amp up the sexual tension with her and Greg in the second one.
Oh, my God.
It's hilarious.
Yes, Greg.
Yes, Greg.
Yes, Greg.
Tom Green. Been by here a few times. 48 today.
Still a little weird.
Yeah, he's an odd guy.
He's built his life on being weird.
Yep.
He
yep.
came to camp out, though, one year, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
I believe you're right, yeah. Vivica A. Fox. Movies like Independence Day and Kill Bill Volume 1, by the way.
Yeah, she's the stripper that saves the First Lady. Yeah,
did you know, I saw a little bit of information the other day that Tarantino was maybe flirting with doing a third Kill Bill movie.
Ah.
If you remember, in the first movie, not to give anything away, but Vivica Fox's daughter is left with a little message from Beatrix saying, listen, if you ever want to come and see me someday?
Right.
If this bothers you, let me know. So that's a clear open to
it is.
A sequel.
It's a great scene.
It is.
Especially since she appears to be just this regular mom.
Yep.
And it turns out she's an assassin.
By the way, I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood yesterday.
Okay.
Last night.
You went without me.
I did.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I went after the conference call last night. I snuck off because I wanted to. I really, really enjoyed it. I wanted to.
What's your review?
I give it 4 stars out of 3, and I loved it. And there were a couple.
What
little,
does that mean?
I don't know. It just means I really liked it. But there were a couple little Easter eggs in there that I think you're really gonna Ooh. Just tiny little
Good.
Things that.
So it's a holiday movie.
It is a holiday movie.
Wow, this delightful little egg.
So delightfully colored with Pa's dye.
But I need more people to see it so I can talk to, I really need Nick Murphy to see it so I can
Charles
dissect
Manson
some things. Yes.
At Spawn Ranch, they're coloring Easter eggs.
Celebrate the birth of Jesus, man.
Literally
Easter eggs. I'm sorry.
To be honest with you, I had to wait until halfway through the movie to go, okay.
I hear it's three hours, right?
No, it's 2.5 hours, but halfway through, I'm like, okay, now this is really starting to pick up momentum.
I think I'm going to love it. Yeah. Everyone says the last half hour is really worth everything.
Yeah.
And I love that time in Hollywood. I love the fact that there's apparently all sorts of nods to all sorts of celebrities. That era. I'm awesome. I'm all aboard.
All right. She's 55, Vivica A. Fox. Is she in it?
No,
but we were talking about Quentin Tarantino. That's right.
Why do we waste that time?
And then, let's see, Jamie Presley, the actress, is 42.
First time I saw her was in a movie called Poison Ivy. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Poison Ivy 2. She was in the sequel, I think, or whatever the hell the story was. Or maybe she was in all 9 or whatever. And then it turns out she's comedically adept.
Yeah.
My name is Earl.
I remember the first time seeing her going, wow,
yeah.
She's really, really pretty.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, comedy kind of came into her repertoire, and she's really good at it. She's 42. And then the last birthday today, our favorite butthole, Hope Solo.
Hope Solo's butthole!
Hope Solo, the goaltender for the women's U.S. Soccer team. And then we found out there was a Twitter account called Hope Solo's Butthole because she had posted naked pictures of herself. And apparently you could see that particular part of her body. And somebody took upon that name. And we just thought it was funny.
Our favorite Twitter account. That and Bill Weston's hair.
Do you remember she had, there was some controversy of her being abusive, I think it was?
Yes, yeah. to an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
So, a family member too, right?
Yeah, something along those lines.
She beat the hell out of a niece or nephew or something?
I've forgotten, but...
Yeah, she was arrested in 2014, charged with 2 misdemeanor counts of assault and in the fourth degree.
Wow. Lest I remind you that her butthole has never been arrested.
Not once.
Yeah.
How old is she?
I'm just saying.
I'm sorry, ma'am. We're going to have to arrest your butthole.
Why?
How do you cuff them?
Wait a second. I'm just collateral damage. I didn't do anything.
for taking his butthole down.
Why has anybody talked to me about
it? Isn't that right? Get my lawyer. What, do you just expect me to pucker up and go along?
Right. Sorry, Mr. Butthole.
Oh, yeah.
Mister.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Hope Solo and her butthole.
You guys are just being wacky.
They both turned 38 today.
They're both 38. Okay, stop that. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. Claude Monet was what style of artist? 215-263 WMMR. What did I miss?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Somebody reviewed Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. They gave it 27 stars out of 43.
I hate you. I'm going to go to Keegan for an answer to the stupid question. Hey, Keegan, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Rantlers.
Rantlers. All right, buddy. So do me a favor and...
Rantlers.
Thank you. Let me know what type of artist Claude Monet was known as.
He was an impressionist.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, she? Yeah.
Hang on, buddy.
You're a dirty rat, she?
Now, I've never looked up the style of impressionist, but I'd always assumed the name came from, instead of drawing long strokes, they put little dots.
No, it's because you draw like other artists.
Oh,
you're doing
okay.
Impressions of them.
But is that what it means?
Yeah.
Impressionist, it does?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh. That's what I thought. It's incredible what they can do, the impressionists. And Monet, one of the best. Hang on the line, Keegan. We're going to set you up with a 4-pack of tickets to Six Flags Great Adventure. Don't let summer slip away. Visit Six Flags Great Adventure with heart-pounding coasters to a safari off-road adventure. Plus, test your courage on the new Wonder Woman Lasso of Truth.
Wow.
Which is the world's largest pendulum ride.
And I got to get over there.
Go big, go Six Flags. I love that place. All right, we have stories to get to. Let's begin with the Royals. We've been doing that a lot, but we'll continue. Meghan Markle guest edited the upcoming September issue of British Vogue. And while she reportedly refused to appear on the cover for fear of drawing attention away from the others, the cover features 15 women who are raising the bar for equality, kindness, justice, and open-mindedness. And there's a mirror so readers can include themselves on the 16th slot.
Well, she's sort of following suit because Prince Philip edited Gash magazine.
Gash?
Yeah.
Wow. What an honor. Inside, readers...
This one looks like salami.
That's all. Different pizzas, yeah, that's pieces right. of meat.
This looks like olive loaf.
Inside, readers will find an exclusive chat. An exclusive chat between the Duchess and former First Lady Michelle Obama. A conversation between the Duke of Sussex and Dr. Jane Goodall.
The Duke's End of Hazard.
Plus pieces by Brené Brown, Jamila Jamil, and many others.
There's a bit of a scandal here, Preston, though. You know who she did not include?
No.
The Queen.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know if the Queen is as upset as people around the Queen are. But, you know.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I don't give a rat's ass.
Exactly. She's seen it all, man. Just to hang out with Churchill.
Listen, I don't give a good goddamn. Who cares?
Markle.
Bitch can do what she wants.
Markle shared an
stupid
image.
Bitch.
On the cover of the Instagram account that she and her husband, Prince Harry.
She's in other show Suits.
Share writing, guest editing the September issue of British Vogue has been rewarding, educational, and inspiring. To deep dive into this process, working quietly behind the scenes for so many months. I'm happy to now be able to share what we have created. A huge
shut the f*** up!
Thanks to all the friends who supported me in this endeavor, lending their time and energy and to help with within these pages and on the cover. Thank you for saying yes. And to Vogue's editor, Edward, thank you for this wonderful opportunity. Now, in a statement, Meghan said that her goal is to make this year's take the year's most read fashion issue and steer its focus to the values, causes, and people making impact in the world today. She reportedly personally asked the former First Lady to take part in her secret project over a lunch of chicken tacos.
Chicken tacos?
While she was still pregnant with her son, Archie.
What are we eating? Chicken tacos. I'll be there.
The Duchess called Obama's response a thoughtful, reflective, and beautiful curated narrative, a gentle reminder not of how, but of why she's become such a globally respected public figure. Vogue's UK editor is thrilled with the overall look of the mag and her choices. Now, as with anything involving Meghan, there's a little bit of backlash. The most serious criticism, though, came from Samantha Brett and Steph Adams, who wrote a book that she wrote an essay for dubbed The Game Changers. The cover also features a grid, and Brett is accusing her of ripping off their visual concept.
She's a grid ripper-offer.
She came up with a grid idea.
She tells the Daily Mail, it's obviously very flattering. She obviously likes our concept. I love Megan, and I'm a huge fan.
Imitation.
But if what people are alerting us to is true, then it's extremely disappointing. Yeah, they came up with the grid. They created
nobody else
grid.
Yeah.
So, Reese Witherspoon and Nicole Kidman are opening up about reports that Big Little Lies 2 director Andrea Arnold was forced to cede control to season 1 director Jean-Marc Vallée halfway through.
And oh, my God!
Whether or not there will be a third season. So I think that's the most important
thing. All right. Is there going to be a third season?
Witherspoon told EW, there was no controversy. Said, in our minds, there's no controversy. We just love the show. We had such a great time doing it. There was a lot of misinformation and no credited sources on any information. This was an incredibly collaborative process for all of us. And the idea that anyone was mistreated was not communicated, which is completely not true.
Is there going to be a third season?
They wrapped.
Regarding the third season.
There we go.
She said, if there are conversations still to be had, I think that's really what determines if we can tell a season.
That's not an answer.
Tell a season three. It is. Is it as good as season 1 and 2? Does the audience still have questions? Do we have answers? So, and then Kidman said, we will decide as a group. We listen to the way which people react because so much of TV is very immediate medium. Every single person who has made this has said this show is bigger than any single one.
Is there some of the, just improv that you have been known, become to known as?
I should be their spokesperson.
You could be.
What did that guy say? I don't know, but I think there's going to be a third season.
They wrapped up every storyline possible, but they did leave it where they're could be a third season. They could go into what happens next.
Between you two and a whole bunch of other people who I know who love this show, I think I'm going to jump in and watch it.
It's fun.
Yeah. It was fun.
They kind of wrapped up the first season in a way that they didn't have to do a second season, too. But the first season was successful.
Death
the Death Star exploded, and then they're like, well, you know, what if the Empire, you know, regains power?
Right.
Well, it's interesting. It's a big hit. I know that.
Adrina Partridge and Corey Bowen are continuing to have custody issues, according to reports.
I didn't even know they had kids.
The Hills star.
I didn't even know they existed.
Yeah. Obtained a restraining order against Bowen last week, but now Bowen is claiming that she falsely accused him of sexually abusing their 3-year-old daughter, Kira.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's horrible.
According to court papers, he claimed in May 2019, Adrina made false claims of child sexual abuse against me to CPS. An investigation was done. The results of the investigation were that the allegations were unfounded. So if that's true, then there's a real issue there.
That's horrible all the way around.
Yeah, exactly.
And I wish nothing but pain for both of them.
No. Amy Schumer is embracing her whole life and new body after welcoming baby Jean with her husband, Chris Fisher, on May 5th. In a picture she shared on Instagram of the day at the beach, Schumer, Fisher, and Jean are trailed by their dog, Toddy, as they stroll by the ocean. One fan left a sweet comment telling Schumer she looked great in her swimsuit with a, quote, normal woman's body, to which the star replied, I am loving my warm, soft post-baby body. Grateful to be feeling so strong again.
She's got to be happy just to not be puking because she was puking the entire run of her pregnancy.
Yeah. She had a tough run, most definitely.
So is this the husband that she says has sort of a like, he's sort of on the spectrum and she believes that's why their marriage works? That because...
Yeah, there are aspects of his personality
that really fit with her.
Specifically because I believe he has Asperger's.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, he can't lie. Is the way she put
incredibly
it.
Incredibly candid.
Incredibly candid, and she loves that about
him. Yeah. The Blast is reporting that Southern Charm star Catherine Dennis, Southern Charm. Anybody know this is a reality show, I guess?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, she's claiming that her ex, Tom Revenel, got drunk and dropped their baby in the pool.
Oh, yeah. I know about the show because they made fun of it on that Joel McHale show on Netflix. Yeah.
Okay. Dennis is claiming in court papers that she had to jump in and save their child. They're trying to settle custody of their two kids, Kenzie and Saint.
Yeah, these people are a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, it looks like it. You dropped the baby in.
There's an article I have to send over to you, Preston. I forget where I saw it, but it's basically making the case that reality shows are a cancer to people. Yeah. That these shows actually
firmly
are cementing horrific behavior.
I'll send you the piece.
You know what I just realized? I don't have. Wasn't The Bachelorette the big finale last night?
We have some audio clips.
Well, we better, because I don't have the freaking story
part
here.
My
prep service didn't put it in there.
What
by
a
the
crap
way,
prep service.
We actually watched some of that in Hawaii.
No.
There was an evening where it was low key, and we popped on the TV, and I started watching it, Steve.
It's everything
it was
we talk about, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah?
This one guy who apparently she voted off a while back came back.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
And, like, was begging her, and they showed that part of the episode, but they also had him live in the studio with all these women, and it was just, I'm like, what is this garbage?
But they do that all the time.
I know they do, and I know what they're doing, the manipulation that they're doing and all that, and there's a reason behind all of this.
Did you derive 1 ounce of entertainment from
God. I was entertained by how stupid the people are that watch this show are, probably. I mean, that entertained me.
Okay.
Because looking at how dumb this is, I actually got caught up in how dumb it is and found that entertaining. You know what I mean?
And, well, I know a lot of people who watch the show and who love it, and people that I respect. I apologize to you
if I offended you by that. But, I mean, listen, some of the stuff I watch you would think is moronic as well.
Well, there are people who watch it for that. Like, for example, I've been watching this show, Love Island. It's so stupid, so bad, that it makes The Bachelor look like Meet the Press.
Yeah.
But it's just unbelievably bad.
Apparently, I was in a restaurant with The Bachelorette the other night. And
which one?
She's really hot.
You know my Aunt Susan, and we went out to dinner together. This was Thursday night at a nice Mexican restaurant in the Pacific Palisades, and she walked in. The Bachelorette walked in. I had no
idea. Anna B.?
I don't know, Steve. I don't know who. I don't watch the show.
She a really hot girl?
Yes. Yeah. She was. And there was the whole place was a titter as she walked in. Hey, good margaritas.
But you know what? You know what kills me, Steve? Absolutely slays me.
What?
Is they play off this whole Christian, I'm a devout Christian thing.
From Hannah B.?
Come on.
Knock it off.
Stop it.
Knock it off. You're in a sex house.
To me, it's pandering.
Yeah.
It's absolute pandering.
Well, they're all doing what many people do when they're first encountering people, that they're lying about what they're about. So that's right from the get-go, the big lie is that they're looking for a long-term relationship ending in marriage.
Marissa just handed you a story from something that happened.
There was one of the big deals is she banged a dude in a windmill, and the guy that left that they brought back...
Was pissed off.
Was pissed off that she had sex in a windmill. Because, last night, I actually saw this moment last night when she admits they did it four times in the windmill.
Four times?
Well, it's spinning around, so it's easy to just stick your junk out, and you're going to catch it.
Should we play the clips?
So, first clip here, Preston, is Hannah sending Peter home. Now, she has the two choices. There's Peter, and I forget who the other guy is. So we're down to the final two episodes. This is part one of the finale.
It was Pete and Repeat.
Pete and Repeat, yeah. So Peter, she sends Peter home, but she says that listen to her. She'll tell you what she thinks of Peter.
Everything that our relationship has been perfect, and it has been so easy.
You know what she sounds like there? She sounds like Jim Gaffigan when he starts doing that whisper thing.
I love having sex in a windmill with
God,
you.
That's what he said.
Oh, my God.
The way they're mic'd, though.
Relationship has been perfect.
By the way, somebody had a bad... They had a bad mic last night, and Steve, it was doing the...
Oh, really?
Last night, yeah. All right, let me...
What's your 20, big buddy?
Here we go.
Everything that our relationship has been perfect, and it has been so easy. You're like the dream guy that...
You will truly, like, always have
a... Oh, my God!
You'll always be in my chest. I will have a feeling of your having the love of my face.
You'll always be in my chest. Not your heart, in my chest.
Right here between my nipples. Well, it's not like lady boobies. I love you.
I almost want to hold off on this and spend more time on it later.
Do you want to visit later on?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I have a couple of... Yes, I do. Okay. Is it, you okay with that?
Yes, I'm totally fine with it.
I have some other stories to get to.
By the way, I do not... I think, all right, this will be the last thing we say before we revisit it later on. Hannah B. is one of the ugliest criers I've ever seen.
I have not watched her
she's
cry
an incredibly, she's an okay. attractive woman, but okay. when well, she cries, there's
show me a hot crier.
There's some. John Crier.
Okay. Yeah. He's pretty hot.
Well
show me a hot Carl. Yeah.
All right, we'll have to come back to that. So we will do that very thing. Casey, I apologize. It's a story about a dog dying.
Oh, man.
Jennifer Aniston, her husband, ex-husband, Justin Theroux, had to reunite over the weekend. They said goodbye to their beloved dog, Dolly, who died on Sunday. So this was, you know, they you haven't seen them in any way together at all, but this brought them back together.
And they were
together.
Holding hands as well.
Yeah, they posted pictures from the memorial. It showed their dog surrounded by flower petals, one picture which showed him holding a beautifully manicured hand, prompted so manicured, prompted speculation.
Your hand is so beautifully manicured.
Of a renewed romance between the pair.
So, who got the dog in the divorce?
That's a good question.
It might have been shared custody.
Maybe their friends, including Courtney Cox, Trudy Styler, Todd Oldham, Cat Power, Amy Sedaris, and Orlando Bloom, extended their sympathy to the pair.
It looks like they were having some sort of ceremony, doesn't it?
I think
they were surrounded by people, it looked like.
Were there a lot of people there?
This is weird.
Is that the dog's carcass?
Sure is.
Dear God.
No, that's okay. Before the eight.
Stop that.
That's weird. Please.
Yeah, because you know what? Now, this is going to start to become a thing. You know, when a celebrity does something like this, then it's going to be like, now I'm going to watch dog dying ceremonies all over my Facebook.
You don't have to watch them.
Well, no, they pop up. I don't necessarily get to pick and choose what I know.
I don't know. So anyhow,
this looks like the version like a Viking funeral for a dog here, Preston.
Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures. I don't see any other people, Steve.
In the pictures I saw of them together, they're picturing people behind them as if they were at some sort of viewing.
They may have done that. So anyhow, they let's see, they split last February after 2+ years of marriage and 7 years as a couple. So. They got together for this. Jason Momoa got surprised on his 40th birthday by close friends. The festivities were organized by Mada Abdelhamid, who trained Momoa for his role as Khal Drogo in Game of Thrones. Also, Ian Somerhalder and his former Game of Thrones co-star Emilia Clarke were there. And Momoa and Clarke FaceTimed his wife Lisa Bonet and their two kids. Nicole Wolf and Lola.
You know what cracked me up with Jason Momoa? They had pictures of him like five months ago, talking about his dad bod. He's in incredible shape.
Oh, my God,
He just wasn't as cut up as he was for Aquaman.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
For Christ's sake.
Yeah, he wasn't in screen ready.
Yeah,
you know,
but he's still...
Starve yourself, ripped up to death shape.
He's in amazing shape.
Bod. He's in incredible shape.
Dad bod.
So, Steve sent me this story. Sylvester Stallone... could be taking another swing at reprising Rocky in a seventh movie.
Now, we've said countless times, we love Stallone.
Yeah.
And you and I are both huge fans of Rocky Balboa, which I think you'll agree is the best coda to the whole Rocky sequel you could possibly have. I don't put it past him to do something great, but I'd be very happy if he didn't.
In a new interview with Variety, the 73-year-old star of the legendary boxing movies had this to say when asked if he'd ever do another standalone Rocky movie. He said there's a good chance that Rocky may ride again. Of course, he's already reprised the role in Creed and Creed 2. But producer Steven Winkler, who co-owns the franchise with MGM, indicated that a standalone Rocky 7 sequel written by and starring Stallone is in the works. He said, "We're very high on it. We're very anxious to make it." Sly even offered up a synopsis of the Rocky 7 plot. He said Rocky meets a young, angry person who got stuck in this country when he comes to see his sister.
Maybe the bagel guy, Preston.
The bagel guy?
The angry bagel guy, the short bagel guy.
He takes him into his life and unbelievable adventures begin and they wind up south of the border. It's very, very timely. He added that this
is... I'm wearing a sombrero.
He said that... the story coincides with immigration issues in the U.S. He said, do you tell someone that you just met in the street who's struggling and homeless to get out, or do you take him in? If you take him in, you're in trouble. And there's a little more here as well for Rocky fans. The Variety article briefly mentioned that there are ongoing discussions about a Rocky prequel and a TV series likely for a streaming platform.
Huh.
Yeah. Should be kind of
How much of a prequel is it, like, in school?
That's a good,
junior high?
That's a good question. Maybe so, yeah. Maybe they go way back when he's a kid.
Rocky 101?
There was a guy around here that was pushing a script and trying to get the story of Mickey told.
Yeah.
And was asking us to try to help him get in touch with Rocky's people. With Rocky's people.
Stallone's
people. We really don't have that connection. So
an exciting new series called Rocky Montana.
I didn't know how to help him out. But
it's a good concept.
I thought it was a cool concept.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Mickey had a history as a boxer who achieved some level of success. Remember, he's showing him the newspaper clippings and so on and so forth. And a troubled life.
Yeah, and this guy had the idea of telling the story about, you know, that Mickey tells when the guy had nails hidden in the boxing glove cut his face all up and stuff. So there's stories there. Whether or not people would really be into it or not, I don't know.
What if he has an incredibly boring life?
It's a library.
I ran a nail salon.
Yeah. Before any of that happens, Sly will play.
I sold insurance.
His ex Special Forces soldier again in Rambo Last Blood, which hits theaters on September 20th. That'll be here.
It's gotta get bloody.
Before you know it, so.
I'm 115 years old. I've seen it all.
So we shall see what comes of all of that. Let's see. You know what? We have time for one more story.
And make it a good
one. We'll wrap it up. How about we end with this one? Lori Loughlin turned 55 on Sunday. And she and her family reportedly held a low-key party in honor of the milestone.
Oh, they all dressed like Loki?
Low-key, two words.
Sorry.
We should have
those
a Loki.
Those horns are awesome.
We should have a Loki party.
We should have a Loki
party. I like it.
Yeah, everyone says it'd be
hand out those hats
horns
to everybody.
Welcome to the Loki party.
Oh, nothing too audacious. A very low-key party.
That and a scepter. Loughlin and her husband, the fashion designer, how do you say his name?
Massimo
Giannulli?
Yes.
Are facing charges in the college cheating scandal that was swept up more than 50 people.
It seems that her and the daughters have mended the fences.
Preston. Yeah, Bella and Olivia both wished her a happy birthday on Instagram. And Bella wrote against a picture, a black and white photo of the two saying, "Happy birthday, Mama. I love you." She had previously deleted her account following the scandal. Olivia also dedicated her own post to Loughlin, sharing a throwback photo of the mother-daughter duo. The post marks her first since the scandal as well. Both Olivia, who was a social media influencer, and Loughlin lost multiple jobs following the scandal. I'm sure, you know what, they probably planned ahead of time. You know what, let's all stay off of social media, but your birthday is probably makes most sense.
A good entree back in.
Yeah.
No, in fact, Preston, I guarantee you they had a team of people that they're people whose jobs. What was the
title? I know what you're talking about.
But they're basically they're PR people. They're the people who orchestrate the way that. For example, if they go into rehab or whatever, how you announce, who gets the story first, what magazine is going to be the most favorable to your return, and how you pace these things.
Social media consultant.
So, yeah. And it all works that way. Because in this case, I think the daughter, Olivia, can be back on, might be able to get some of her influencer status back.
Oh, for sure.
The news cycle is, I forget what I was watching the other day, but I was watching that HBO series about the girl who sort of shamed the guy into committing suicide online.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible two-part series on HBO. But that seems like it was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
These things turn over so quickly. So I think she has a shot.
And if convicted of fraud and money laundering, the couple faces up to 20 years in prison for each charge. They're next due in court on August 27. All right, let's see what clips we have today. Taking place in the year 2199, Pandora features an intelligent young woman learning to defend the galaxy from threats while attempting to learn the secrets of her identity. Here, Priscilla Quintana explains how she resonates with her character. Here we go.
She is resilient. She is a badass. She's tough as nails, but still soft, like kind. And she fights for what she wants. And I resonate with all those things. But she's just so much cooler than me. So I got to like live my fantasies of who I wish I was through her.
What the fuck is this?
So this doesn't have anything to do with Avatar.
It appears to not have anything to do with Avatar.
Interesting.
Which I find interesting that they didn't put a kibosh on the name.
Yeah. Pandora airs tonight, 8 o'clock. That's on the CW. Here's the next clip. Hobbs and Shaw.
I've been watching the Fast and... Well, jumping in and out of the Fast and Furious movies because they're leading up to the big Hobbs and Shaw rollout.
Yeah.
And they're all just wonderfully written.
Hobbs and Shaw is slated to be the first spinoff of the Fast and Furious featuring the title characters fighting... to avoid a bio threat.
A bio threat?
Yeah, and in this clip, Jason Statham shares his excitement on shooting practical effects. Here we go.
We get to drill down on that, and we get to do practical sort of filming. We get to shoot in camera as much as we physically want to. And for me, that is a massively important element to what we do, is to try and capture what we do and put it on camera.
Shut up, dummy.
I do like him a lot.
I do.
I like them both a lot.
I think they're really solid. This thing is clearly going for a sci-fi element to it, because Idris Alba has some sort of suit or something about him that makes him superhuman.
Okay.
So it's obviously not rooted in any real story.
Right.
But these things are... I was watching the one last night. Was it last night with Charlize Theron, where she's the big baddie? And I told you about it. They have cars and submarines chasing each other under ice, and it's just incredibly over the top.
All right, so not at all realistic, but there was something that just happened in the trailer that we're watching for Hobbs and Shaw, where Jason Statham holds up a bulletproof vest, and one of the bad guys comes at him, shoots the vest. Would that work?
You want to try it out live on air?
Hold it.
You shoot me.
Listen, we might get a good Bizarre File story.
Yeah. Right.
No, I mean, there's got to be some kind of reaction. I'm really curious as to what it is.
Oh, you wonder whether the velocity of the bullet would cause the vest to fold and allow the bullet to pass through?
Yeah, I mean, it's designed, obviously, to be pressed up against the body and protect you that way. But I'm curious as to what would happen if you're just holding it and somebody shoots it.
I think it'll work perfectly.
Okay.
And absolutely nothing will go wrong.
All right.
Well, Kathy's raising her hand. She wants to.
I'll take your word for it.
Are you kidding me?
It's so all of it.
Well, it's supposed to be.
And it is. You're right. You're right. And if this is what you're into, it's perfect for you.
I mean, last week they were talking about how, you know, taking this franchise to space is not out of the realm of possibility.
Oh, no. Well, right. This again, you have the site. See, here's Idris Elba jumping over moving vehicles in a super-duper suit.
Case, take it to another dimension if you want to. Yeah. Whatever. It would all... They'd find a way to make it work. But anyhow. It hits theaters Friday. If you want it, it's there.
My guess is it's going to be big.
Yeah. All right. We are going to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a moment. We got our Burger Brawl friend stopping by this morning. That is coming up next month, or the following month. We're right on the edge of August.
There's only 12 months. We'll get it
right. Right. We'll get it right eventually. And Tad Tuesday, we'll get you more of the details because it's a special one today. We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Rival Sons. Godsmack. The Revivalists. You got some change inside your
pocket, but it doesn't change. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
I wanted to mention, and I was thinking about this yesterday because one of our former calendar girls, Ashley Gallo, posted this bikini picture of herself on her Instagram page, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Man, have we had some stunningly beautiful women on the pages of our calendar.
We're very blessed.
It is time to solicit once again for the Preston and Steve Totally Office calendar. So if you are indeed interested, you need to get in touch with us. And that information is available at PrestonSteve.com. Nick bumped the link back up. It's right on the front page. Click on that, get the info, send us the pictures, but do it as soon as you can because we're already halfway through the year, more than halfway through the year.
Yeah, the turnaround's going to be pretty quick.
I even got an email the other day from a gentleman named Travis who let us know that another former calendar girl, Ashley Alexis, has fulfilled her career dream by becoming a model for Sports Illustrated.
Is that wild?
Yes, and she's a plus-size model.
Yeah.
And she's doing great. She's doing wonderful. Yeah. And he wrote that a lot has happened since the last time you guys had her on the air, including embracing her plus size figure, becoming a body positive social media influencer, creating an incredibly popular swimwear brand for all her sizes, getting married, which she got married to Travis, who emailed in. She said her and I bought a house in Allentown. She's officially a PA girl. So you never know. You might end up in Sports Illustrated.
I didn't realize she's back in PA.
Yeah, no, he's trying to convert her to be a Philly sports fan, which she's not.
She's from Boston.
Yeah. She's a diehard.
That's going to be a tough sell.
No, it's totally cool. But that was the year, I believe, that we had four Ashleys in the calendar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ashley Gallo, yes. Ashley X.
Ashley's, Brittany's.
Yeah.
Seems to be the name.
So if you would like to be in the pages or you know someone who should be, please point them in the direction, or you yourself go to PrestonandSteve.com, get signed up, and let's see what happens.
You know what we need a super hot Gladys just to...
Just to change it up a little
Gladys.
Bit. Mm-hmm. That'd be nice. Hazel.
Hazel Bertha.
Yeah, all those names. So Steve sent me this interesting article. It was a survey that was conducted by U.S. Foods. And this, they surveyed over 2,000 Americans, some of which who have identified as working as a deliverer for at least one food delivery app, because it mainly focuses on these delivery app, Uber Eats, and so on.
Grubhub and Postmates and Caviar. There's a whole bunch of them out there.
Yep. So, but they found out that 20% of consumers suspect that their driver has eaten some of their food on the way to drop off food at the restaurant. Now, we have a lot of restaurant people sitting here in the studio. They are nodding and laughing right now.
Except the owner.
Yeah, Rob. But they're all nodding and laughing right now. Now, these are delivery services. The restaurant has done their job. They've handed it over, and now these people are taking it on the way.
You know how I beat that system, Preston?
How?
I order soup. It's hard to reach over and get a handful of soup.
All right, so 20% of consumers suspect that their driver has eaten some of their food, which is charitable considering that 28% of delivery drivers confess to eating other people's food on their way to dropping it off.
There's footage of a guy, I think he's doing like one of the fast food services. And you see him go up to the door, and he takes a sip
of
the shake.
Straw. Yeah. No.
Wow. You can't. You can't put the straw in for them, right?
Well, maybe some restaurants do that. I don't know. But 54% of those
here, I got it started for you.
Said they simply listen. Here's the reason, and I get this. The reason they do it is they simply can't resist the smell of the food in their car. And
is that really a reason? Would a gynecologist have the same excuse? I just can't resist.
Nom, nom, nom.
Nom, nom, nom.
It's like going to the grocery store hungry. Okay.
We just did. We went to BJ's.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
And so before you go off on your delivery, eat, get full. Don't, okay. Because otherwise you can't resist the smell.
Yeah, or you end up with a box of friable Vietnamese duck heads.
Right. Well, let me ask you guys. Mm-hmm. If you go out and you pick up a pizza, mm-hmm. Will you eat a piece on your way home?
That was one of the things that we started to talk about off air, is that if you're picking up, if you're not a driver, and I want to encourage people who are drivers to let us know that do delivery, whether or not you participate in this. But if you're even picking up food for friends or, Casey, just grabbing a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And
for your family?
Yeah. And clearly it's dinner time, because that's why you're bringing a piping hot pizza home. There have been many times where I've risked my safety driving to reach over.
Oh no,
and
you
grab
can't walk in the house with one slice out of the pie.
Oh no, yes, yeah, it's got to be two.
No.
Yes, you can, and
no,
I do.
No, full pie has got to come into the house.
How far away is your pizza place from the house?
Well,
pizza, you got to.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm thinking because the only
this is going to be a good 6 minutes.
Well, the only place is that I have to pick them up. Otherwise, they just. Deliver or whatever, but Pika's doesn't deliver to my house. So I, Pika's is in Upper Darby. I'm in Broomall. Yes, that's at least three pieces away from my house.
But Steve, even if it's a mile, that temptation, that scent of piping hot, ready to go, awesomely yummy pizza is really hard to resist.
I see different culprits here. I see your French fries. You're easily grabbable.
Oh, sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
Over pizza, because now. I wonder, and I didn't, I leave a lot of the article for you to check through, Preston. there seems to be more problematic foods for drivers to pilfer, you know, where it's more obvious that the food has been pilfered, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't
go
into that.
If you take a slice of pizza, it's going to be pretty obvious.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, if you're delivering for a company, you're only going to go, you know, you're going to take fries or something like that.
There's no patty in my burger here.
Yeah. Right. It's going to be tough to do anything else. Let me go to Steven. Hi, Steven, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Gadzooks,
buddy. So you were a driver for a food app?
Yeah, I used to work for DoorDash, and like you guys were saying, almost every time I picked up Five Guys, I was going for the fries.
The fries are good.
Did you feel bad about that at all?
No, not really, because like Five Guys doesn't have like a measurement of fries. They just kind of pour a bunch.
They dump it into that bag.
That's true. That's true. It'd be hard to know.
Yeah.
So, as again, nobody's going to be the wiser if I just take a few on the way, you know?
Yeah.
Have you ever carried it further to a burger?
Yeah, I wish I could take some of the burgers, but no, unfortunately not.
All right.
But, no, you know what? You're actually...
I used to do it for Chipotle a couple of times, you know, you steal a couple of the chips.
Okay.
And nachos. Like,
chips. Yeah.
I kind of feel that you're doing me a favor by taking some of my fries from Five Guys, because they give you a lot. They give you
so you look at it sort of like a diet plan.
Yeah. Essentially, yeah. Yeah. You're saving me some calories, Steven. Thank you.
Thanks, Steven.
Yeah, you're welcome, guys.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Let me go to, is this an anonymous caller, I guess? Hi, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, man. All right, so you were a driver as well?
Yeah, I was a driver for, you know, pretty much all the way through high school and college. I drove all around Delco.
My man.
So, you know, it really depended on how good of a tipper you were, or how much we liked you, depending on how much of your food we ate
or how much of it
we put in our mouth and then put back on your pizza.
Seriously? No.
Anonymous, actually, so to your point, I heard that as being part of a determining factor is if you are people that you deliver to often, what kind of tippers they were. And a lot of these people said they would exact sort of a little revenge by pilfering their food.
Can I just
subscribe to that?
Can I just jump in here and just tell you that, like, if you're doing that stuff to their food, no matter what you think of them as a human being or a person, you're now worse than they are.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And
all right.
Beat the crap out of somebody. Yeah.
You're on the air, dude.
But you know, it was we definitely would suck on your pepperonis and
put oh my God.
Sucking on a man's pepperoni is just not. You just can't suck on a man's pepperoni
without pepperoni.
Giving you the thumbs up.
But could you suck on their sausage? Though,
yeah,
Steve,
now that I think you can broker that deal.
So, this guy ruined my day.
But to the anonymous caller's point, you could lift up a pizza box, pilfer a pepperoni.
Yeah.
You could pilfer some toppings.
Sure.
That'd be easy.
Where are the sausages?
Let me ask you, could you, Preston, from a pizza box, could you, I've seen people do it, where you cut a small slice
and then slide them back together
surgically.
I don't think so.
I'm a master of covering over hidden French fries.
Yeah.
I took down, my wife had a whole bunch of, they were, I forget what they, it's the, like duck fat or whatever the hell.
Oh, yeah, sure. Duck fat fries.
Really good.
Yeah, yummy.
So she had them there. I didn't get permission. I was trying to ask her. I did text her to ask if I could have some. Uh-huh. I couldn't get the pass on it. So I had to take matters into my own hands. I called an audible. So I ate half, maybe more than half. But then if you link and log them back together and stack them in a way.
That's a lot.
It looks.
I guess you could, yeah.
Yes, but you have to be creative. You have to almost be like R. Buckminster Fuller with a geodesic dome there and make sure it stacks up right and it looks convincing.
Yeah.
She never knew.
Marissa?
She knows now.
I would like to thank the Philly Pretzel Factory for when you get the big tub of nubs,
mm-hmm.
You know, little pretzel nubs.
Nub tubs.
The top of it has a little air vent. So I'll bring them out to, like, tailgates, and I'll just carry that big thing on the subway, and there's a little vent. You can peel the top and just start picking them out of the top. And then if you give it a little, like, shimmy shake, they all kind of fall back in place. So where there's holes, you can just kind of shake it back together.
Here's another trick, Preston. If you're stealing someone's ice cream, and those will be my wife's ice cream, if you shave it off from the top, if you open up from the top and look down, there's no way really to tell. I see people make the mistake of just scooping. mm-hmm. just scooping. You have to like shear off layers.
To steal some?
Right.
Like a butter knife or
right.
something?
Or well, a spoon. But you just, okay. you know what I'm talking about, right?
I know what you mean. Yeah, exactly.
Another one is if you're making baked ziti or mac and cheese and you have like long rigatoni noodles, you can just kind of peel them off the sides, but then you have to start eating it equally. So if you like peel it off one side, you have to like get out the other corner. I'm a grazer. I'm like, this is speaking to me so much because I will pick, as I'm cooking, I will pick at whatever onions or mushrooms or whatever I'm cooking with and just eat as we're going. By the time I make dinner, I'm not even hungry.
Another thing you can do is take the ice cream, the cake icing, and just sort of spread it out over the piece that you've taken on.
You guys are secret eaters.
Well, listen, these are things that you have to do. Because as you know, when you do that, there are no calories then involved.
Yeah. Right, when I've it's just a said, sliver.
Yeah, like ice cream, when you take the lid off, everything that's on the lid doesn't even count.
No, it wasn't even, it's not part of the caloric
nope.
intake.
All right,
they never say lid ice cream, they say container.
What about Dunkin' Donuts? You get a dozen donuts. Do a dozen donuts make it home? Or if you get a box of Munchkins, does that entire...
Never. Right? Those would never make
okay,
it.
Okay, Munchkins are...
too easy to open, yeah, and they're one-handed food, and yeah.
They're
no
meant
problem.
For it. In fact, I'm surprised cars don't come with dispensers.
Yeah.
I mean, like a gerbil bottle feeder.
Who opens it up and, you know, there are only 49 in here. You know what I mean?
Well, okay, so like French fries or the Munchkins, yes, I could see. But a full pizza pie or a full dozen donuts.
It's either all or nothing,
like
Kathy.
Dunkin' Donuts that are laid out in the box and not in a bag where you can actually, you can't have one
but
missing.
Even if it's not your delivery guy, you're saying if you're picking it up for the family,
Mom, Dad,
slice of pizza?
No. Oh, you got to wait to eat with the family, jerk.
Wow.
I'm not as militant, but I do appreciate your idea of waiting home because you wait till you get home for everyone else. But I do understand that is such a seductive smell.
I'll bet Nick has eaten an entire pizza
I've
car.
Done it during this segment.
Nick has actually jumped over the counter and eaten it while it's still in the oven.
No, it's the smell every time. Anytime you put any of these foods in the car with you, it's inevitable that you're going to have some of it.
Nick has had a great white shark tell him to slow down.
Yeah. Chew, buddy, chew.
Come on, dude, you're an animal.
Taste it.
Press, your Emo's pizza back at home, that was the type of pizza that you could eat an entire one by yourself, right?
Yes, and could eat one-handed in the car as well because the crust was crisp and the pieces are small. They're cut in squares.
Yeah.
And so it's an easy one-hander. Boom. You know, you can...
How long?
Can
how
make
long?
That work.
Let's say your commute was a half hour. Would it be gone?
Dude, the Emo's near me in my apartment was literally across the street.
Okay. So half a pie?
Yeah, exactly. I never had to worry about that. Hang on. Let me go to Zach, who's a former pizza delivery guy. Hey, Zach, good morning.
Hey, am I on the radio?
Yeah.
Nice.
What's up, man?
Hey, but thanks, guys. First of all, love you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Second of all, yeah, I used to work as a pizza delivery driver out below Pottstown. If you're getting the food for yourself or, like, for you and your girlfriend, slipping a few fries, I think that's kind of, come on, you have to.
Yeah.
But my boss was a short Italian guy. He would absolutely beat our butt if we thought about even taking anyone's food. I don't know how he would know. He would figure out a way to find out, and he would come back and tear you a new one. I got my rear end chewed out one time just for forgetting to scrub underneath the sink one night, let alone taking someone else's food.
Yeah, so pilfering food would have not made the grade.
You never sucked on the pepperoni, though, Zach.
Never sucked on a dude's pepperoni.
No, I never sucked on anyone's sausage.
Not even while tickling his meatballs?
Jesus. I mean, that's just courtesy.
Yeah, that's just courtesy if it's an Italian buffet.
I'll tell you what never, ever, ever makes it home without being touched by me if I'm the go-get guy.
Right.
Is if I go out and get Chick-fil-A for the family.
Chick-fil-A.
Because the waffle fries.
Yeah.
And they're
sorry.
Huge.
Yeah, you
dude.
Eat two of them and then they're gone.
Exactly.
Where will you buy a travel edition? So, in other words...
Oh, like an extra just
yes,
for the drive?
Yes, I will do that.
Oh, yeah.
Probably there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will do that for McDonald's or, there any place where you know you will succumb. You as Dirty Harry advised us, know your limitations.
Yeah, exactly.
So you just play to them, and you're going to be – besides that, you don't have to worry about if you spill them or whatever. You're not down a bag.
If I was a chicken nugget guy, those are easy to pilfer as well. They're easy to eat. But somebody would know because you order a
number. But would you put a dude's nuggets in your mouth? That's the question.
Another dude's nuggets?
Yeah. No. Roll them around.
Maybe if it was a finger.
Yeah.
A chicken finger.
Well,
Preston, so, I'll put your fingers
when you
in
worked at McDonald's. Yeah. I know it was brief, but when you would walk past either the nugget drawer or the fry station, it was pretty. If you were hungry working at a fast food joint, it's difficult not to pilfer.
Man, they were. I was 16 years old, but with the nuggets, they were militant about those.
Like, were they really?
Yeah, they had a separate,
did they know?
They had a separate trash can they called the quote waste can, which is different than the trash can. And whatever was food that was not consumed that had to be thrown away had to be put in there.
Right.
Wow. And then it would count the waste at the end of the day to see how efficient they were.
Was there like a pit boss counting the...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Check change, five nuggets.
Yeah. We need a new boot out here. So let me ask you this then. You all worked restaurants?
And fast food. Yeah.
For servers... is how commonplace is it to on the way from the...
No. Not yeah, the way but from, we talked about this.
Maybe
on the way back.
Maybe up on the counter.
No, on the way out.
Yeah.
Because the way the kitchen that I worked in, you'd put up, you know, order up, you put it up on a counter.
Like there's a whole plate of fries.
And it was still in the kitchen, so it wasn't... Yeah. It wasn't in a line of sight for the customers. So they could probably grab a fry and eat one on the way out, you know?
It was never that for me.
You never did that?
No, but I
never.
But I sucked all the nitrous out of the whipped cream.
Really?
I watched.
Dude, my waiter just took a dump on our table.
I watched one waitress. She had like three or four different whipped cream things that just was like... cream juice because it had no nitrogen. What's going on here? These are all broken.
Do you remember?
Dripping out. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. I have no
Casey.
Idea.
Casey.
That's messed up, man.
Casey, at a place called the Coffee, you remember the Coffee Beanery?
Yeah!
All right, so the same thing happened. I wanted whipped cream on hot chocolate.
Oh, my God.
The guy's like, he's going through the cans. What are the odds that six cans of whipped cream have no propellant in them?
And Steve, did you know that when you do nitrous, it's like sulfur hexafluoride?
Yeah. It makes your voice sound like this. What's going on? Yeah. You folks like some espresso?
just a side note, that stuff killed brain cells so fast.
Oh, my God.
It was so stupid.
Dude, also, I watch people in the parking lot doing these things and walking at the same time. Rule number one, sit down first. Yeah. Because you're going to fall and smash your face into a parking block.
Oh, yeah.
I got to get to surgery. I'm a neurosurgeon.
Let's see. Here's Tech says, I've driven for Uber Eats for a number of months. And, yes, definitely have partaken in this multiple times. But only for fries and things that you can't notice.
That would be the obvious. If you contact us, if you've ever pulled off soup or something else that's a little bit more involved.
Chicken fried rice.
Chicken fried rice.
Wait, here's a text that says, Red Robin gives you a little to-go cup of fries when you take out. I didn't know
that's
that.
That's very smart.
Something that you can eat in the car.
Yeah.
You remember, I forgot who it was, used to... maybe it was Kentucky Fried Chicken or Burger King, but they had a fry thing that would fit in your cup holder.
Yes.
That's a brilliant
That was
idea.
A brief. Do they still do that?
I don't know.
Because that was a brief promotion that made a lot of sense.
I don't know why that didn't have legs.
Because I will use my cup holders for hummus.
Preston, you know that thing that you got me where you can stick your phone in the vents of your air conditioner?
Yes.
I saw somebody... That's how
you heat up your chicken?
No. Steve, it's even more ridiculous than that. And he listens to the show. I'm not going to out you. But he has one of these things that goes into the vent that you put in.
Air freshener?
No, barbecue sauce or honey mustard or something like a chicken nugget.
He has like dipping. Like a caddy?
Get out of here.
I swear to God.
I like that.
Because
that's great.
It's exactly what it looked like.
It's like having a fixins bar on your dashboard.
And I made a joke about it. Like, hey, I can't believe you have a barbecue sauce holder here. He goes, yeah, I found it on, it was like, you know, ad on Instagram. I was like, that's actually what this is.
Steve, that's like getting a limited edition, like Jeep or something. This is a Roy Rogers.
Right, Roy Rogers. Look at this. The signal squirts horsey sauce. Yeah, the rear view, Preston. It's like you're milking a cow.
Oh, my God. Let me see. Hang on here. I'm going to go.
Actually, I like that idea. Limited edition Roy Rogers Jeep.
Now, I have used the air conditioning to cool off food before. Like, yeah. You get fries that have just come out of the fryer, put the fan on high, and just hold it right up there to it.
It cools it off.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Huh. Let me go to Julian. Hi, Julian. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up, buddy?
I used to work at a McDonald's. It was my first job. And instead of, like, throwing everything into, like, a waste bin and counting it all at the end of the night, mm-hmm. they would just give us all the food. And, like, anything that people, like, accidentally made or just didn't go through the drive-thru with, mm-hmm. they would just give all the employees the food. And I gave
accidentally like, made?
Oops, I accidentally made a double quarter pounder with cheese.
Yeah, I made a 50-patty hamburger.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a regular thing. I think I gained like 10 pounds just like
wow.
In a week.
Yeah. Okay.
I think
that's
that
pretty
would,
generous.
It is yeah. very generous.
Thanks, man.
A lot of places will make years ago, the Dunkin' Donuts would make you, I mean you would
yeah.
They would donate to like local shelters and things like right. that, but at a certain point, they weren't saying to the employees, "Have at it."
Well, you know, like a lot of mom and pop places, those are the places to go to at the end of the night because they would much rather
mom and pop are asleep.
No, well, they mother much rather sell something at half price and just toss it in the
it's
trash.
True.
You
it's
know?
True, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Apparently, that little sauce caddy thing was on Shark Tank, Casey.
Oh, no kidding.
Nick pulled up the video of it. It's called the Sasamoto.
Have you seen, Preston? It's a wire that attaches from the left wheel to the right wheel that goes through the car windows, and it's a rotisserie for your chicken.
No way.
No, the chicken spins very fast. But it's an amazing thing. I mean, everyone gets the drippings.
Is it front seat or back seat?
It's front seat.
Okay, yeah.
You'll get it in the back seat, no problem. Okay.
You turn your heater on.
Right, yeah.
Right that. Over the heater, yeah. And it's like a Kenny Rogers right in your...
I will go next to Scott. Hey, Scott, good morning.
Yo, rock and roll, man. What's going on?
Yo, yay. Buddy. Want to hear your story. What's up?
Yo, I used to work at a pizza place in Norristown, and I ate a chili, bro.
You ate a chili?
Chili, yeah.
Like a chili pepper or a bowl of chili?
The whole thing of chili, the whole cup of chili. I said, hell with it. I was going to quit anyway. So I figured
on your way out, tub of chili.
So your dream
is this.
Yeah. I'm going to show corporate. I'm going to eat a tub of chili.
I wasn't a tub. It was just a cup. But I know the people that wanted it didn't eat it. I know that much.
All right.
And from our nation's capital, the story of a defiant employee who ate a cup of chili and brought down a company.
Okay, so here you go. Joe did the pizza thing, Steve, where he would rearrange it.
Yes.
Oh, we just lost him. But apparently he would rearrange. He says that he would rearrange the slices to make it look like a whole pie. That's impossible.
No, I don't think so. Have you ever had a pizza where they
double cut it?
The cheese has become this pool of melted.
Yeah.
Very camouflaging.
Right.
Cover.
Covers up the gaps.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I still think that's difficult.
You could separate each piece just by a little bit.
At that point,
the cheese would smother over the spaces.
Buy a goddamn slice, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We put up a poll. Question of the day, if you're picking up pizza, is it okay to eat a slice on the way home? 72% say, no way, Kathy. Gotta wait.
Wow, I'm surprised by that.
You can come eat at my house.
Yeah. Interesting. You know what? There's a couple other facts in here that I didn't even get to from this. By the way, it was a survey conducted by U.S. Food said 28% of delivery drivers that deliver for food delivery apps have partaken upon other people's food.
Yes.
So they said that 54% of them said they simply couldn't resist the smell. The paranoia has become so pervasive. 85% of consumers are pulling for restaurants to employ tamper-evident labels to effectively address that particular issue.
Well, like the stuff they keep medical waste in with a lock on it?
Something like that. And drivers and customers agree that $4 is a sufficient tip for the average order, even though 95% of customers, and Steve, you're going to have to interpret this sentence for me. It says, even though 95% of customers agree that tipping is an integral part of the food delivery system, there are a few consistently occasioned grievances urging this same demographic remain parsimonious even if the same is true in reverse. Did you get any of that?
No, that is the most obtuse sentence I've ever heard. I would say this.
Parsimonious?
So I would say that in this case, I think that a lot of these drivers that I've read interviews with consider the percentage that, like I use caviar a lot, that the tip amount they suggest is pretty low.
Yeah, well,
and so I will tip more, and a lot of it has to do, Preston, as I consider it, my insurance policy, yeah, that I won't have some guy sucking on my pepperoni on the way over to the house.
Well, right. So I have a question, and Steve, I'm going to have to ask you to recuse yourself because you are, like, you're a superhero when it comes to tipping.
Oh, yes. All well, right. I do tip a lot.
But, so when you when I ordered pizza, I'm sorry, I was like really sad. I ordered pizza the other night, and it was a lot of money. Like, it's so I ended up tipping on the bill rather than what I really think the guy deserved. I think he deserved a $5 tip, but money wise, you know, like I tipped
percentage wise.
I tipped 20%, and so he got. $10.
Yeah, but they're not serving you. They're just delivering you.
I know. So what am I supposed to do? Like,
you'll have to talk to your Lord and Savior.
Right.
My thing is, like, there have been times where it's been really crappy out or whatever, mm-hmm, and you know, or then you goose it a little bit. I always think that a lot of times it seems to be people, like, you know, college people
who are
like trying to, you know, work their way through school or whatever. And that's it. I always think of that.
And if they're if you ordered a bunch of pizzas for a party or something, and they got to make more than one trip.
Yeah.
You know, you got to tip a little more.
Yeah, exactly. Because otherwise they're going to be eating a tub of chili on the way out.
Right.
Sucking on your meatballs.
Sucking on your sausage.
No,
and
tickling your meatballs.
Tickling your meatballs and sucking on your sausage.
You can suck on the meatballs too. Just go easy.
You got to remember, Preston was in a rock band.
That's kind of overrated, to be honest.
Not really.
Anyhow.
Listen. Just concentrate on the end of the sausage.
Yeah. I can't believe
you. What?
It just doesn't do anything.
Seriously?
Yeah.
No, it makes the sausage eating that much in the sausage eating.
I'd rather have the sausage.
Yeah. No.
Well, everybody's.
You know what you do? Go around to the back and lick the plate.
Okay. Everybody's got their preference.
Trust me, both are gross.
So, oh God. 28% of drivers confess to eating an order here and there, so keep that in mind. I want to remind you, we have Tattoos Day taking place today. It's your chance to win a $350 gift certificate to world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. Actually, we have two different things for you to win today. You can win that, the President Steve Tattoo, and you go to the shop there.
Right.
Or you could possibly win a visit with us next Tuesday here in our studio, and you might get tattooed, or if you do win it, you will get tattooed done by James Vaughn from Ink Master Season 1 and 7 in our studio next week. It's pretty cool. He's going to be in town for the 10th annual Wildwood Tattoo Beach Bash, August 9th through the 11th at the Wildwoods Convention Center. James Vaughn, I get it now.
Hey, are you? You said you were good thinking about getting your tattoos redone or getting a new tattoo.
Oh yeah, I have horrible tattoos.
Has that faded into not going to happen? Or are you still actively considering?
I haven't even been thinking about it. I'd have to be inspired by something. I see so many cool tattoos on people, and I'm like, that looks awesome.
You may I suggest something?
Would that look good on me? I don't know.
How about the Kingsman, the symbol?
Oh, no.
You don't
I
like
love
that?
The movie, and I'm also thinking about what permanently do I want on me.
Your daughter's an artist.
I get in the Beatles.
Why not have her draw something up for you?
We could do something like that. Anyway, you can have something done. Keep in mind what you might want to get, and you just might do that very thing. So text the word tattoo to 39333. We'll see if you win. We're going to take a break. Be back in a second. Some bizarre file stories are on the way, and we also have more of the details on the Burger Brawl coming up in just a second. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, there are stories of the bizarre file that are ready to go, so let's fire them up now.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Dunkin'. This summer, enjoy Dunkin's new Hershey's Cookies and Cream or Heath-flavored coffees, because everyone deserves a sweet escape from reality. Preston and Steve run on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer trademarks are used under license. So I found this
interesting. Firefighters had to use foam to extinguish a fire in a swimming pool on Monday.
There was a fire in the water?
It's very interesting how this happened. It was an above-ground swimming pool. So apparently a resident at this home was trying to burn sticks and leaves in a fire pit and decided to use gasoline to light the fire.
What could go wrong?
The fire flashed back and caught his gas can on fire. So he threw the burning can into a nearby above-ground swimming pool. Well, the flaming gas then spread across the top of the water in the half-filled pool and created a liquid fire on top of it. And it caught the sides of the pool because it was an above-ground pool. It caught it on fire.
Of course.
So they actually had to call the fire department to put out a fire on a swimming pool. A swimming pool was on fire.
Daddy made a goof.
no one was injured in the fire. The pool was heavily damaged in the blaze, so they had that issue. A 52-year-old Florida man is facing burglary charges after being accused of breaking into a home with a horse. So he actually took the horse inside the house that he broke into. Yep, he did it.
Florida man, Florida man.
Having sex with a horse.
Well, no, he wasn't.
He wasn't?
No. So homeowner Steve Ferguson said, "I was very surprised." He bought the home a year ago as an investment property. He had planned to remodel and rent it.
This is going to be your room, Tornado.
He said the home has been burglarized before, so he put up a fence, posted no trespassing signs, and installed security cameras.
No horses.
He called the sheriff's office on Thursday after he started getting alerts on his phone that showed video of a man on his property. He then headed to the house himself, and upon arrival, he said, "I saw the horse running up the street." And by that time, deputies had made contact with Lonnie Maddox. According to an arrest report, he actually approached the deputy responding to the burglary call and asked if he'd seen a horse.
What you doing here, Lonnie?
Maddox reportedly told the deputy that the horse had gotten into the yard through a broken fence and he followed it. The document states that he also told deputies that he went into the house because he was interested in renting it and wanted to see what it looked like inside. And so Maddox said, Ferguson said, "I said, what are you doing in my house?" And the guy said, "Well, my horse broke into your house, mister, and I had to get in here and get her."
Man.
And I said, "Okay." She broke into the gate and then the porch and then the house. Well, surveillance video shows the man identified as Maddox walking around the property with the horse, entering a screen-in porch with the animal and seemingly trying to get in through the front door. The affidavit says the door was padlocked and Maddox got into the house by breaking a back window. Ferguson said nothing was taken, but estimates the damage of the window still costs about $100 to repair. As for the horse, a sheriff's office spokesperson said Maddox borrowed it.
It wasn't even his own horse.
No, you wouldn't take your own horse. It'd be stupid. The animal was found a short distance.
I need a loaner horse. I'm looking at some real estate.
Away. And returned it to its owner. Maddox faces charges of burglary of a dwelling. Colorado police say a driver tried to replace, and there's a picture of it. It's great. A driver tried to replace a broken tail light with a bottle of red Gatorade.
Kind of just put it over the light?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Police stopped a driver Monday who placed a red-colored bottle drink where his car's rear light should have been. I got to give him kudos for using red. I mean, you know.
He was trying to follow the law.
Yeah.
He could have used, lime?
Authorities say the driver was on his way to get the taillight fixed when officers stopped him 38 miles north of Denver. Officials say that officers didn't ticket the driver, who was seen repairing his car later that day. Police say taillights prevent crashes, and while we, quote, appreciate the ingenuity of this taillight, it is not a permanent solution. Authorities say vehicles must have a red taillight that can be seen at least 100 feet away during the day.
I always think of trains, planes, and automobiles. Do you think this vehicle is suitable for road travel?
At least this is a pretty wild, true, you know, new, just straight up news story, but it's got a bit of a gruesome side to it that fits in the bizarre file. At least 52 people have been killed in a prison riot in Brazil, which saw rival gangs battle for 5 hours.
Wow.
Gang members from one prison block invaded another part of Altamaria Jail. Officials said that 16 of the dead were decapitated.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
The remainder suffocated after part of the prison was set on fire. Two officers were taken hostage and have since been freed. The violence began around 7 o'clock local time and ended at around noon. Video reported to be from the prison carried by Brazilian media showed smoke billowing from at least one prison building, while another clip appeared to show inmates walking around on the rooftops.
The warden has admitted that Shiv Knight was a mistake.
The two rival gangs involved have not been named by authorities. The prison where Monday's violence broke out has a capacity of 200, but was occupied by some 300 prisoners at the time. The gang leaders involved in the attack were to be moved to federal prison for isolation.
Have you ever seen the show Locked Up Abroad?
Yeah,
yeah, they did something at this prison. A lot of these prisons are just basically like Escape from New York.
Yeah.
They basically throw you in, and that's it.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
All right, and then one last story. We're going to go back to eating food, which we had a segment on a little while ago. A customer at a McDonald's in Indianapolis is looking for answers after finding that someone may have already helped themselves to a sandwich. The customer, DJ, is a regular at the McDonald's. He ordered a McChicken sandwich, fries, and a cookie, but suspects someone took a bite from the sandwich before he completed the sale. He found the evidence when he opened his order when he got to work. He said, I started to warm up my chicken, and I noticed several small bites, and I know that I didn't eat it. No one else was around. I said, you know what? I'm going to go to the McDonald's and see if I can get that taken care of. A local law enforcement officer, he's a cop, by the way, said, I went to the McDonald's and talked to the supervisor. She offered me some free food I didn't care anything about. I just wanted to find out who the other person was.
Who's the culprit?
And they deal with that person in an appropriate way. Well, since this story has aired, the sheriff's office looked into the investigation, and there's an update. They concluded the police officer forgot that he took a bite from the sandwich.
Oh, man.
The sheriff's office released the following statement saying, last week, sheriff's office employee purchased a McChicken sandwich. The employee took a bite out of the sandwich upon starting his shift at the county jail, then placed it in the refrigerator in a break room. He returned nearly 7 hours later, having forgotten that he had previously bitten the sandwich. He wrongly concluded that a McDonald's restaurant employee had tampered with his food because he was a law enforcement officer.
To that cashier I tased, I'm sorry.
He has since formally apologized.
Yeah,
to McDonald's,
yeah. Well, that's good.
But he forgot that he had eaten some of it. And but he made good on it. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right. So the event is coming up in September. It is the Philadelphia Burger Brawl with a new location.
I think an incredibly interesting and good new location.
Most definitely. And we would like to welcome a friend of our program here. He is the creator of the Philadelphia Burger Brawl and the owner of Rouge on Rittenhouse Square. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Rob Wasser.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
Is here. Always good to see you, Rob. How you doing?
Can you believe it's already another year?
Yeah. It's astonishing.
And so so you guys are moving it to the Navy Yard.
Yeah, we were lucky enough. The Navy Yard came to us and says, hey, we love your what you do for the city, and we would love to have you. And you can't say no to something like that.
You're like yards away from where the location was before. But the benefit now is, and listen, it was great at Xfinity Live and the whole thing, but you're going to be on that parade ground. It's going to be a lot cooler.
Exactly right.
Because the parking lot tends to bake up.
Exactly.
And that's where we have the mud strut. Is there in that area, and it's just beautiful and sprawling, and I think it's a great improvement.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun. I mean, like this year, if you can imagine, we're already looking at about 50 to 60 restaurants showing up for this event.
Yeah.
We are brand new to this year, if you can imagine. Jim Beam is our now new presenter.
Wow.
Which is huge, so which means we'll have a bourbon garden.
A bourbon
garden. Could you imagine? I think this is like one of your dreams.
Yeah, it is. Most definitely. Wow.
Yeah, so it's going to be very exciting. And I'm so excited to see that everybody's like joining in, especially you guys, and helping us out. So
well, there's a couple of elements. The main thing here is that the Burger Brawl has a charity component to it that is just wonderful. Explain what that is.
Yeah, if you can imagine, we've raised over the last like 8 years, I think $283,000 for the school district of Philadelphia. Wow. And what we do is we buy computers for the elementary school kids for their classrooms. There's a lot of technology out there, a lot of programming, but they actually need the hardware. And so we do this through the Philadelphia Burger Bowl, and it's been a great success for us.
I also like the fact that it's on a Sunday during football season, but the Eagles play that night.
So you can go there and fill up on all your burgers and your bourbon if that's what you do. And then be all set for the Eagles game that night.
Yeah, you're right, because this is the first year we're actually doing this during the football season. But we decided, hey, let's figure out what the best date is. And so this is an away game at 8 p.m. at night.
Mm-hmm.
So if after eating 50 burgers and you can still stay awake, it'll be a great thing to watch.
No, it's perfect. You can get you basically have the ultimate tailgate situation provided for you, B, again, yes, it's it has in years past been in the warmer months. You're starting to get a little break in September, which is cool. And you just bop right across the street there, and you're right at the stadium.
That's true.
Yeah. And, Rob, there's a finite amount of tickets that you sell for this event, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And so that's what I really love about this event is that it's not overcrowded. So if you buy a ticket, you're not going to be waiting in, you know, these gigantic lines to get these burgers.
Like some of these things can get away from the organizers.
Not this.
Yeah.
And there is such an incredible – we've done it. You know, how many years have we done it? And, you know, Casey, you and I have judged. I think we all have at one point or another. The amount of food that's there is astonishing.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, when you have 60 restaurants and you're duking it out for the best burger and best taco and now cocktail competition, it's a lot of fun. And people are, you know, like, think about it. Each restaurant's bringing about 1,000 pieces for somebody to try.
Right.
You know, they're you know, it's insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. From Village Whiskey, we actually have some great people here, M2O and BurgerFi, and listen, they all give their time. This is nothing that, you know, we couldn't do without all these different restaurants showing up and hanging out with us.
Casey, what were you eating? You ate a couple burgers earlier. Do you know what they were?
Well, I ate one full burger, but by two different restaurants. So I had like a mushroom bacon burger from, I don't know.
Who brought that?
I think that was from.
It's either BurgerFi or M20.
I think it was M20. Was that from M20?
Oh,
M2O.
Sorry.
That was from M2O. And then I had just a double cheeseburger from BurgerFi. They were both really damn good.
By the way, when you...
You guys tie.
When you get your... Yes. When you get your deals, they're cut into pieces. So you can go and sample. I remember in like the first year when we were judging, we'd get full burgers and we would be... our hearts seized up about halfway through the competition.
Well, if you're going to judge, you need just a bite.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, one of the craziest things, one of the funniest things to watch here, you know, obviously after years, you learn how to like pace yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. But a lot of these people that come here, they're so hungry and so excited, they don't pace. And then you start seeing people bend over halfway through the event because they have the meat sweats now.
Yeah. Just let it, you know, take that Zen approach and it'll be the most gluttonously wonderful afternoon of your life.
Well, take your time now. Especially, you know what, because we have the Jim Beam, you know, bourbon garden now, I mean, which is going to be really exciting. Like, you can slow it up.
Right.
Go relax.
And have a good
seat.
Time.
Yeah. Exactly. But no, that's probably one of the funniest things is watching everybody like just bending over and
seizing up.
Yeah.
So, but you now there's an advanced ticket option right now, right?
Yes, actually, because of your helps and so forth, we're doing a special. Tickets are normally $45 for all the burgers you can eat and one cocktail or beer. And now, for till August 2nd, I believe, you have a $30 special. So you go on to burgerbrawl.com, phillyburgerbrawl.com, and you put in ringside. R-I-N-G side.
That's the promo code.
Yeah, that's the promo code, and you get your ticket for $30.
That's a hell of a break. That's
so a lot of people buy these as gifts for like birthdays and things for people who are...
Exactly. Yeah. And this is actually because we usually do it in June, being in September, everybody's back from vacation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a, you know, it's a fun weekend to be able to relax and bring everybody in.
I love
it. The day.
I love the changes.
Oh, and actually, this is going to be exciting, Marissa. Hip City Veg... and a couple other vegetarian options this year.
Cool. Right. We know how big the beef, the Impossible Burger, and the Beyond Burger options.
They're huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah, so we're really excited that we can add these guys into this.
Something for everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. So, once again, you can go to burgerbrawl.com and use the code ringside and get that $15 off. And I have a pair of tickets that I can give away right now.
Woo!
Yeah, we'll take caller number 10 at 215-263-WMMR, and we will set you up. And a reminder that BurgerFi is at 44 North 12th Street in Philadelphia. And M2O, you can find, they have locations in Queen Village and Wynwood. And we'll talk a little bit more about them in a bit.
Yeah, and again, I just wanted to thank everybody that's helping us out, all the sponsors, WisFest, Cisco, PHL Airport, and Visit Philly, and obviously you guys. And again, Jim Beam for now being our presenter, which is huge.
Yay. And the whole Excellent. Beasley family is involved.
Oh, Beasley, so everybody is.
Yep, awesome.
All right, thank you, Rob.
Thank you, guys.
Rob Wasserman, guys. Yay! Blue from the Burger Brawl. We are going to take ourselves a break. We'll have more of those tickets to give away later on through the course of the show, so get set for that. We will return in just a moment.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Just got a text that says, Aloha from Kauai, Preston.
Ooh.
Podcast you guys every day out here. That's from Tyler. Thank you, Tyler. It's 2:30 in the morning there, dude. You're up all night, I guess.
What's your status as far as returning to sleep schedule? Because you had...
I'm forcing myself to stay awake, and I'm getting tired in the day, but, you know, I'm getting there. We got back on, I think it was on Wednesday, so trying to reacclimate. Getting there, though. It's a long way.
It's the only way to do it. Listen, if you're going to go visit some of these far-flung places, that's just the nature of it.
Yep.
But everyone has their methodology, but you just kind of have to tough through it.
You got to soldier through it. And I'm hoping I can hang on. You mind if I plug something real quick?
Go ahead.
Got to plug a gig.
Yeah.
Back in town. The band's heading back out on the road, man.
Fresh off their gigs in Hawaii.
Yeah. Saints playing once again. We're actually playing the Lehigh Valley.
Wow.
In Easton, PA.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I've ever visited, but there's a club called One Center Square. We're playing there.
One night only at One Center Square.
This Friday.
Saint.
Yeah.
Featuring Preston Elliott on drums. I don't know the other guys.
I was trying to think of the... You know, we like to play rock and roll party and stuff.
Is that Warren?
Yeah. I like to go to Delco, Montgomery County.
Yeah, we'll tell you about the last county we blew up. That Warren video. But anyhow, so, I have no idea if we're going to be able to draw out in...
yeah, you will.
In the Lehigh Valley, but I wanted to use the power of the microphone and say this Friday... Come and join us at One Center Square. Saint.
That's a bit of a haul, but sometimes, a lot of times in those areas, they don't get a big city rock band out there.
No, it's near Allentown.
No, it's a cool place. Yeah, yeah.
But anyhow, just want to plug that. So if you want to come out, if you're a listener out in the Lehigh Valley, come and see. It should be fun.
You're rocking and rolling and whatnot.
I ran into people from the Lehigh Valley when I was in Utah. I wish I could remember their name. Two different things. Like I was in the lobby of my hotel in Kanab, Utah. And I'm wearing the hat that I'm wearing now. And this guy walks up and his kid next to him is like, hey.
I want to have gay sex.
Wow, that's not beating around the bush. That's
Did I already tell you this story? No, he said to his kid, hey, you know, the guy's got a Phillies hat on. I'm like, hey, where are you from? And they were from the Haddonfield area. And we're just talking a little bit more. And, you know, the wheels start turning and he looks at me and I knew it was coming. And I was like, yes, I'm Jim Gardner. No, he's like, are you on the radio? I'm like, yeah. So hi to those guys that are from Jersey and hi to the people from Lehigh Valley.
It's wild when you're way out of town and you run into somebody who has heard of the show or, you know, is from the area and has heard of the show. It's flattering. It's really, really neat.
May I add a caveat to that, which is that sometimes if you're out and I'm not inclined to go, you know, yes, I am, it could very well be I just happen to look like a relative or something like that. So I don't want to be presumptuous and I don't want to come off looking like a jerk. So don't, you know, by all means say, you know, come on over and say hi or if you think. I would love to do that. But I just think it's kind of a douchey move to go.
Of course.
Yes.
You must feel really embarrassed right about
this
now.
Must be quite special for you meeting me.
All right, listen, we touched on this earlier, and I wanted to hold on because it's just...
It was so good.
It's so good. The Bachelorette. Apparently, the finale continues tonight. Man, they are milking this thing.
They always do. And then after that, they're going to have the after-the-rose ceremony. Oh, so they're going to have all that stuff. But anyway,
from what I understand, Preston, I have the breakdown. So she let Peter go last night, sent Peter home, and the two bachelors vying for her hand in marriage, Jed and Tyler. And Jed is an up-and-coming musician whose most recent gig is he wrote a jingle that was purchased by a dog food company.
Right.
And there's Tyler, who are not, correct me if I'm wrong, and if people want to correct me, but that's the information that I have. I don't watch it, but I love listening to the clips because they're so exactly what you expect them to be. Yeah. But this show holds its audience, and it just keeps going.
Yeah, I have to admit, the girl is gorgeous.
Yeah,
what's her name again, Steve?
Hannah B.
Hannah B. Is like B is her? Is that her middle name? So she goes by like Hannah B. Or is
I
B
think
her?
B is her the first letter of her last name?
Oh,
Brown.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
okay, Hannah Brown.
Yeah,
okay.
Her Twitter handle is Alabama Hannah.
Okay,
and she's got 350,000+ followers.
Alabama Hannah.
Yeah,
you know her. She's a ghetto girl.
She's so cute. All right,
but you better watch out because this kid has a whip.
She she had sex in a windmill four times
with the guy with Peter. Seven men.
Well, maybe
we were doing whippets and all sorts of sphincter relaxing stuff.
All right, let me play the clip we played earlier, which is her sending Peter home,
who she says is the ultimate man. So one, it begs the question. Why is she sending Peter home?
Yeah.
Everything that our relationship has been perfect, and it has been so easy. You're like the dream guy that...
You will truly, like, always have like, a piece of my heart.
What did he say?
You'll truly have a piece of my
piece
heart.
Piece of my heart.
You okay. You will always have a piece of my face. I'm gonna cry. You will truly, like, always have like, a piece of my heart.
They get the microphones that pick up all this. Hang on, Steve. That pick up all the.
Oh, when they kiss, stuff. Preston. So it's like here's when they.
Oh my God, Kathy's cringing.
I hate listening to people make out.
Yeah, and you can hear it right here as he starts to speak.
You're like the dream guy that.
You will truly, like, always have like, a piece of my heart. Like, I truly mean that. And this, like, this sucks right now. And this hurts. I don't regret anything about it. I truly don't.
I don't really.
I hate this so much.
It sucks. I just... I know that you were right for me, but I just can't face a world in which I can't.
Oh, my God. Okay. I officially
That's
can't take
pancreas.
It.
That's my pancreas.
I mean, the mic is so hot on them for every bit of this because none of them have any really effective mic technique. But there they are. So she sends Peter home.
Yep. And then the other clip is her. She's unsure of her decision.
Yeah.
What's she going to do?
What's Hannah B. going to do? Is it going to be Jed or Tyler?
So I guess what I was watching last night, Steve, was so I guess she had already done this, sent him home, and this was bringing him back and then sitting in front of the women's Senate.
Right, yeah. So they browbeat the guys who, right? Yeah. That's usually what happens.
Yeah, although this was more about talking about how awesome he was.
Okay.
From what I saw, and she mentioned that they banged in a windmill four times. And you should have seen the faces on the ladies in the crowd.
I always remember the hot Carl. That saran wrap stayed so snug against your beautiful lips.
My God. All right, here's the other clip. Here we go.
Tyler and Jed, so many feelings are in each relationship. I know that I'm loved deeply by both men. I know that I'll break someone's heart tomorrow.
What?
So stop and think about this. In the course of an average life, how many people do you think have actually ever been to the point where they have two, it's 50-50 on who they're going to marry or who they want to spend the rest of their lives with. 50-50. When I met my wife, I pretty much, hands down, that's her. That's the one. I was like, oh, dear God, I love you, but I also love her so much.
It's such a weird...
It's a fraudulent scenario. Dynamic, well, and it sets this bizarre...
anticipation for a lot of people who are members of the Bachelor Nation, Preston, that this is the way an actual relationship should be.
Yeah, I just don't know who's watching it and why. You know, is it actual
it's junk food.
Is it married people watching it because it's romanticizes? Because, I mean, we're all married and
I watch this.
We've all been married.
This Love Island thing is horrible. But I've been watching it. I wanted to commit to one to watch it.
All right.
And I'm there's also not a lot else on, and it's on every night, so you can just kind of jump in and jump out of it.
Oh, you don't miss key plot points?
Oh, you don't miss any key. You don't miss no points at all, but they keep bringing in these, so they're on basically Hump Island. It's like Sex Island on a...
Did I see a teaser for this the other day? There was a guy, it was an African-American guy who was standing on the beach, and he's got the exercise bands, and he's doing curls.
Was that it? Yeah,
and
yeah.
the girls are all, ooh, going on and on.
Oh, they all work out, and they do their, you know, their Tai Chi and all that stuff.
Oh, these are, you know, it's the beautiful people, but no question.
They started off with, like, moderately beautiful people.
Okay.
And then they start introducing more attractive, and then they just keep coming, and they're setting up this dynamic. But even the guy, I think it's Ross, who used to be the intern on the Leno show.
Oh, really? Ross the intern?
Yeah, I think he's the one doing the commentary.
Oh.
So it's actually pretty, he's actually pretty good. But the whole thing is, he's complaining that they're not really battling. I assume that they thought they'd have some sort of really contentious crap going on, but everyone's being very polite. And what's not to be polite about? They're all banging each other in this paradise.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm trying to figure out the dynamic, and I still haven't nailed it.
Yeah,
I just you know, to me, it's fantasy. That's all it is.
I don't know why I like it so much.
I was, you know, at the bike ride on Sunday, you know, Lindsay and Alan got engaged, and I was really cute, and it was romantic, and, you know, and I was so happy to be there, and I was, you know, a little choked up because it was just so sweet and all that, but then, you know, you get to the reality of it all.
Thank you so much for bringing us together.
Well, marriage itself isn't all that romantic.
You were getting choked up about what? I'm sorry, I was reading
just
a text.
You know, the young love budding, and you know, and it's cute and all, but like then I fast forward to dirty diapers and did you take out the trash and like can you please?
I never loved you.
Maybe not quite there. You have romantic moments in your marriage, but you know
I made a terrible mistake. No, I know.
The reality
part of the
is,
deal.
You know, like, and then you know, fast forward to you walking past all the stuff that's on the steps, and you're like, I'm not taking that upstairs. You could take that upstairs. You know, that whole dynamic.
Right. Why is there half a turkey sandwich on the counter in a house with 10 cats? Why?
You'll always have a piece of my heart.
You'll always drive me crazy with that.
Somebody pointed out she sounds like Olaf from Frozen.
Oh.
And I think I know what part. Hang on a second.
Everything that our relationship has been perfect, and it has been so easy.
All things summer, and it's hot, and going outside. You know that part?
Yes. I'm talking about? Yes.
He's a buzz.
We're watching those tigers from the hot air balloon and eating caviar. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, I haven't watched one lick of this show. I've just seen these little moments where they sit down and start to you know, analyze each other and so on. So
I haven't
seen what little fantasies that they've sent them out on.
Gabby, when we had that hamburger at Sonic, I'll never forget that.
But it's compelling in its stupidity.
Remember when I crap myself?
Every now and then, as I am, you know, like we were watching a set in Hawaii earlier, and I will find myself investing a few minutes into this. I'm like listening to what they say, and then the whole concept will hit me, and I'm like, what am I doing? What is this? You got to be kidding me! What are we looking at?
I've been looking for I love you. Yeah, I've been looking for a relationship.
None of them look for a relationship. No. I think actually there is one. There's an actual marriage, believe it or not. That Chris, what is this, Harrison? Or what's the host's name?
Yeah, Chris Harrison. Yeah. That's it.
So, but I mean, it's that's the anomaly for an actual long-term relationship to take place. So they're going to the absolute wrong place.
Well, maybe these guys are just so handsome and in shape and all that sort of stuff that they've been banging like crazy anyway. So kind of over that, and they want to settle down.
You know what show killed me, which I watched every second of it, was the one that Angela was in, Angela Perfetto.
Oh, yeah.
A Match Made in Heaven.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah.
That's not the one where... Oh, wait.
And she made it a good long way.
She made it to the final
two. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The final two?
Yeah, and then he didn't pick her.
Whoa, she was final two?
Yeah.
I didn't realize. That's not what was the one where the
you'd be nuts not to pick Angela.
Where the chick pooped up on the
oh no, that's with Flavor of Love. Yeah, she New York was her name, and she took a dump on the stairs.
Those are the ones that I want to watch.
You took a full blown dump on the stairs. You took a piece of my heart. Do you remember when we were in that hot air balloon and I got diarrhea? I knew then I loved you.
Oh, my God.
When I threw up into your mouth and then I took a poop on that luau table.
That's Real World.
Who is from...
Remember when we got lice? Twice?
Who is from Newark, Delaware? Is that the gal who took a dump on the stairs? I think it's a text that just says she's from... I think she was from around this area. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Hey, remember Antoinette? Whatever happened to her?
Antoinette was one of...
She got married.
Yeah. Married? Okay.
Yeah, she got married a couple of years ago. I saw her. She's friends with my brother. So I saw her. My brother has a networking party every year for the Kentucky Derby, and she was there.
She's real estate. She sells real estate, right?
You know, I'm not... Something, because my brother's in real estate, so they somehow are connected.
We have the clip of her.
I forgot what show she was on. Yeah,
she was on The Bachelor.
I don't like it. Was that The Bachelor?
Yeah.
That was early on. It was like the second or third season, maybe.
Yeah.
From back in the day.
I don't like it.
Are you looking for that case? Because I have another direction I'm going to go in. It has to do with television shows, but it's completely...
Well, let her read. Okay, I got it.
I don't like it.
Yep.
I
don't like
it. She said she was so tired and delirious. And
they wear you down. It's almost like prison tactics.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're looking for.
And she's the one that told us that that's what they did, and that she's not a person who would typically cry on TV about some dude she just met, but that they really wore her down. It was 2 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
Drinking.
2 o'clock in the morning, like from like midnight till 3 a.m. is when they get their best video. Mm.
Somebody texts in and says and wants me to say that Matt Lesher from Delco watches The Bachelorette and doesn't want anyone to find out if he could put him on blast. That would be great.
Wait, that was Matt Lesher from Delco?
Yeah, Matt Lesher from Delco.
From Delco.
That's awesome.
Wow. Matt Lesher,
apparently,
yeah.
A member...
When you told your radio audience that I watched The Bachelorette, I'll never forget it.
He's a member of Bachelor Nation.
I want to kiss you.
All right, listen, I saw this morning in BuzzFeed. I thought this was pretty cool. It's titled 21 Startling But Real TV Facts That Will Mess With Any Millennial's Head.
Oh.
And I was sold after reading the first one.
Please.
So this is interesting. Today, and it's about shows from a few years back. Today, Will Smith is not only older than James Avery, who played Uncle Phil, was when The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air first aired. He is also as old as James was when the series ended.
Man.
Wow.
He is older than Uncle Phil was at the beginning of the show.
Will Smith.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Isn't that wild?
Oh, man. That's a melon twister.
James was 44 when the show first aired in 1990 and 50 years old when the show aired in its final episode in 1996. Will is now 50 years old.
Did you see that version, that trailer for the movie that he's in, Will Smith?
Gemini Man?
Yeah, where a younger
version
him
of himself
is sent out to kill him.
Yeah, it's interesting. All right, here's another fact. While Tatiana Ali, she is now older than the original Aunt Viv, Janet Hubert, was when she first played Tatiana's mother on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, my gosh. Uh-huh. And by the way, while we were on vacation a couple of weeks ago, we ran back the Italian Fresh Prince of Bel-Air thing. And I had listened to the segment, and I think this is the segment we might have played 1,000 times that morning. You guys remember that at all from like 10 years ago?
Oh, it's the theme song.
It's the theme song.
Ho!
There we go.
Hey, questa è la maxi storia di come la mia vita è cambiata. Capanotta sotto sopra si è finita. Seduto su due piedi, qui con te. Ti parlerò di Willy, super fico di Bel Air.
Oh my God. I didn't hear Philadelphia in there anywhere.
It's coming up.
Oh, yeah. Woo!
Woo!
Giocando a basket con gli amici sono cresciuto, me la sono spassata. Wow, che fissa ogni minuto, le mie toste giornate filavano così. Trauma che tiro a canestro, un film di Spike Lee.
It would have been there.
Okay,
but
yeah.
They didn't say it.
Why not?
I don't know.
In Sicily.
All right, so I have a couple of other interesting facts.
Okay? All right.
In less than a year, it'll be the 20th anniversary of both Even Stevens and Malcolm in the Middle, which officially makes them old school TV shows. I don't remember Even Stevens. You
guys remember was that? That was with Shia LaBeouf, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, this one will blow your mind. If the Golden Girls was made today, Molly Ringwald would be old enough to play Blanche.
What? They were all pretty young, right?
Rue McClanahan was 51 years old in 1985 when the show debuted, which is the same age that Molly is today. And Jennifer Lewis would be old enough to play Sophia. Estelle Getty was 62 years old when the show debuted, which is the same age that Jennifer Lewis is now.
Estelle Getty was playing much older. She's playing like 80, right?
Yep. They oldified her a little bit for that. How about this? Reminiscing about your favorite episode of Full House today would be like someone reminiscing about their favorite episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show in the early 90s.
Wow.
That's how far back that is.
But it's funny because I think what happens is the repeats keep them contemporary. So you still see the stuff all the time.
Well, it's crazy because my repeats.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, my repeats. Thanks for hanging with me.
We're all of like those 50s and 60s shows and some 70s shows as well.
I love MeTV, Antenna TV. You know, some of this stuff is just, it's timeless.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's true.
All right. So how about this? If Fuller House were to pay homage to the Full House episode where the Beach Boys guest starred, then they could have No Doubt or Blink 182 and it would make sense time frame
wise. Oh, wow.
And so at the time, though, the Beach Boys, it seemed ancient, you know.
It did. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. I mean, even back then.
The Beach Boys guest starred on Full House in 1988, which was 20 years removed from 1968 when they were still the big rock band, while 20 years ago in 1999, both Blink-182 and No Doubt were big alt-rock bands.
Yeah, man, that's effed up.
1999 was 20 years ago.
I have a hard time. It still seems like the 90s were just a couple of years ago.
I found a whole cache of photos in my house, and I haven't seen them in years. And one of the sets of photos was I put together this huge party at the Millennium, literally December 31st, 1999. And I'm looking at these as if they were yesterday.
Yeah, the 80s seem like forever ago to me, but the 1990s don't seem like they were that long ago to me. I don't know why.
I think it all because we're constantly referring to both contemporary and old pop culture at the same time, so it sort of lives on. I always, my mind is blown by hearing stuff like this because it's all sort of living contemporaneously.
Okay, so I'll try to explain this one. So the show Freaks and Geeks premiered in 1999, and it was set 19 years before, during the 1980 to 81 school season. Okay, so keep that in mind. If it was created today and set in the same number of years back, it would take place in 2000.
I never watched it. I did watch
Freaks and Geeks, and that's where you had, that was a Judd Apatow show, and you had a lot of the people that are now, you know, veterans
Jason
of
Siegel.
Judd Apatow. Yeah, all those guys came out of that whole deal.
Cardellini, she was in that. There were a lot of people. James.
Franco.
Franco, yeah.
Sam Levine. Rogan.
Sam Levine was in it. Yeah, you're right. Yep, absolutely. And wait, who's next?
Busy Phillips is in it, and Linda Cardellini.
Yeah. Here we go. If Happy Days were created today and set in the same number of years back, it would take place in 2000.
No.
I always thought, I always thought that, growing up, at least I think we have cooler music to remember. I'm sure, like, I was never a big doo-wop fan.
Oh, see, I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my mom and dad were into it, and so I loved all that old stuff.
Mm. Didn't we have an Italian version of Happy Days as well, or is that Spanish version of Happy Days?
I don't know.
No.
I have no idea.
Can you look and see?
Oh.
Yeah.
It wasn't a rhetorical question.
You got access to all of that. That was the time when we were going through all the TV shows that had foreign versions and foreign theme songs, because there was a day when there were theme songs.
So who's dead from the Happy Days cast? Aaron Moran and Tom...
Oh, my God.
Tom Bosley.
He's dead?
Tom Bosley. Aaron Moran died. You remember that?
I forget these things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have Happy Days in Spanish or Italian.
Do you have... Do you have it in Pig Latin?
No, but I do have Blossom in Spanish. No.
Yeah, that's right.
Unde Uzde.
That was a Unde
Unde Me.
Unde Me Uzde Te. Happy Hay Days.
Yeah, all right, try it.
Urzde Day. Ride Fray. I'm saying the wrong one.
Ride Fay.
Rail Rat Rotten Hut.
Happy Hay. Hey days.
Happy
Let's A's listen to Blossom. Days.
Oh, wait, no.
Why, but I've always...
I wasn't ready. Oh, that was Olaf. That?
If you wanted... I don't know why, but I've always loved the idea of summer and sun and things hot.
And that's supposed to
sound like
The Bachelorette. All right, here's another one while you're looking that stuff up. So this year marks the 30th anniversary of Saved by the Bell. 30th.
30!
Yeah.
By the way, one of the great, we talk about those Lifetime movies that are sort of biopics. That one's one of my favorites.
So Mark Paul Gosselaar is older today than Dennis Haskins was when he first started playing Mr. Belding. That's where we're at.
You know, I hear that name, it brings up a sore point because I was a big fan of The Passage.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
One and season, they canceled and they canceled it. Those rat pricks.
That was a good show. So Jaleel White from Family Matters is now older than Reginald Vell Johnson was when Family Matters first premiered. That was the dad on the show, right?
Yeah. Oh,
wow. He was also in Die Hard.
Yes, he was.
Yep. Mm. I love the...
Que nos traerá el futuro, que puede adivinar. Si escuchas lo que digo, no te deprimirás. No debes preocuparte, arréglate y sal a pasear. Yep. Y toma nota, nena, recuerda que hoy el sol brilla.
Okay. Let's see. This year, Jonathan Taylor Thomas will be as old as Tim Allen was when he first started on Home Improvement.
I was just reading an article about him, about why he sort of walked away from Hollywood.
It wasn't because he was too short and couldn't become a leading man.
Yeah, that was part of it, but it was also he just lost interest.
Oh. Mm. Do we all just like lose time or something like that?
No. Seems like it.
Yeah, right.
By the way, he is also older now than Richard Karn, who played Al.
Oh my God.
When Home Improvement premiered.
It's effed up.
Mm-hmm.
I just started watching yesterday old episodes of Cheers because it's now on Netflix, and so I watched the first.
Oh, it's been on.
Yeah. And first and second episodes, and it just kind of blew me away that like Sam and Diane were like 38 years old because their age came up. Actually, his age came up in the very first episode.
Oh.
And I'm like, wow. Because even I look at him then, and if he's 38 in that episode, I'm older than him. He still looks older than me. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah, he appears in your mind to be older than you at that time frame, yeah. Here's another fact. Freshmen entering college this fall have always lived in a world where SpongeBob SquarePants and Dora the Explorer have always existed.
Well, that's a pretty good world, that SpongeBob.
Yep, and they're doing the Dora Explorer film, live action movie.
Were your kids a fan of Dora the Explorer?
Yeah, they were. It was at that time,
yeah.
And they were pre-K, and so it was a perfect. They actually, you learned the show taught quite a bit. Huh, it was well done.
If you're not careful, you might learn something.
Right. Have you guys seen the Dora All Grown Up things on? They show up on like YouTube or whatever.
I've watched.
My name is Dora.
No, it's still like Dora's.
Explore me.
It's still her voice, but she's like. Like, don't you hate it when you show up to work hungover and your boss asks you what's wrong?
You mentioned that, yeah.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Most freshmen entering high school this year have always lived in a world where Grey's Anatomy has always existed.
Oh, that's a horrible world.
And freshmen in high school probably, they were born after September 11th, 2001. Like, that's history for them.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It wasn't a part of their...
They weren't alive for it.
Well, that's kind of like that show Euphoria that sort of steps off on that. The chick who plays MJ in Spider-Man.
Oh, Zendaya?
Zendaya. Yeah, her character was born like 2 or 3 days after that.
Okay.
And yeah.
Here we go. There's never been a new episode of Friends in their lifetime either.
Wow.
Speaking of friends, Cole Sprouse. Who is Cole Sprouse?
Oh, he is. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. He was the kid in Big Daddy, and he was the son in Ross's son.
And he's on Riverdale. Oh. He plays Jughead.
He's now older than Jennifer Aniston was when she first appeared on the show.
And he's also dating Reinhardt, Lily Reinhardt, who's in that new Jennifer Lopez stripper movie where they hustle the Wall Street guys.
Remind me who Lily Reinhardt is. I know that name.
So she's from Riverdale. She plays Betty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's stunning.
She's stunning. Now, you got to see her in the trailer for this movie.
Totally different.
They also have from Crazy Rich Asians and from Fresh Off the Boat. I forget her name. What's her name?
Is it Allison Wu? Or am I just making that name?
No, it sounds close.
What is it?
Constance Wu?
Constance Wu. So they're Constance all playing Wu. Strippers.
Constance
and they...
Wu.
Constance Wu.
Constance Wu.
Thank you. Constance Wu Wu you.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about how Cole Sprouse, who's dating in a relationship with, I believe her name is Lily Reinhardt.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're correct.
Okay, I thought that was Zach and Cody. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and one of them left showbiz, and the other one, I guess, is still in it.
Okay. And then the last little fact I have on this is this year marks the 20th anniversary of Corey and Topanga.
Mm. Corey and Topanga.
Yeah.
Topanga just got married.
Boy Meets World, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Danielle Fischel.
Yes. Remember she had like a crazy bar dancing.
Yeah, she was here.
Deal
she was
here
at McFadden.
She was at the ballpark.
Yeah. And made out with another girl and somebody that
weren't happy about
we
it.
We got wind of it and we had her on the show and we asked her about it and she hung up on us.
Yes, she did.
So.
Screw her.
No, not screw her.
Tomorrow or next month, Preston, is the 25th anniversary of Shawshank Redemption coming out in theaters.
Wow.
Yeah, 25 years. That's
tonight amazing. Is there's an anniversary viewing of The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, that's 20 years?
20 years, I believe. Right?
I was at that premiere in Philadelphia. I had no...
You were at the premiere?
I was at the premiere, yeah.
Were you working in radio at the time?
Yeah, I was at Y100. I did a lot of, like, movie screenings.
You were Casey Knight.
I was not Casey Knight. But I worked a lot. I wasn't married, didn't have kids. My girlfriend at the time lived far away.
You can go to the movies.
I went to the movies a lot. But I was at that one, and...
Was Knight there?
Knight was there.
No kidding.
And he had told a story about when... You know, I don't want to say it was like the basis off of this movie, but he basically, when he was a kid, he says he saw a ghost.
Yes, like he told us the story. Yeah.
So at the screening, he was talking about how he's, you know, in his friend's like backyard, they were, you know, playing basketball and he looked up and saw something in the window.
I remember that, yeah. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
So there's a screening tonight, Steve?
Well, he's going to, it's at the Film Center, I think it is. And he is going to be there talking about it and you know, normally, but nice to have him on, but we don't know what the story is.
Huh.
But yeah, it's a big deal.
It debuted August 6th, 1999.
Wow, man. I remember when that came out, what a big deal that was.
It just blew up.
Yeah.
Put him right on the map.
You gotta go see
this. Well, he talked about, like, if you remember, Donnie Wahlberg was in the very, very beginning of that movie, and he had lobbied hard for that part because he was really trying to break into acting.
Yeah.
And he was great. I mean, he was only in the movie for a couple of minutes.
Yep.
He was awesome.
And I didn't know it was him until, like, days after I'd seen the movie. Somebody pointed out to me, that was him? And sure enough, he's gone on to do some really solid stuff. So, interesting.
Steve, I'm sorry to report that Lily Reinhardt and Cole Hauser have broke... Not Cole Hauser. Cole Sprouse.
They broke up?
They broke up, man.
I just saw an Instagram pictures. I this can't be.
It's breaking news, man. I'm really sorry.
I love you so much. And I can't have a life without you.
Breaking news.
When did this happen?
This weekend? I mean, this is literally over the last few days, so...
There was just Instagram pictures posted of them together.
She stepped out for the first time. Cole Sprouse hit the town without Lily. Oh. I know. They broke up, last week.
Well, she's pretty beautiful.
Steve, will you feel better if we play you a song?
Yeah, I think I'd like that.
I mean, how can that not put a smile on your face?
It's very nice.
Yeah. All right, well, anyhow,
wait.
TV facts. What?
Hey.
Break.
Preston, if you look up to the screen, Lily Reinhardt just posted something on Instagram.
Yeah.
Read what she wrote.
She wrote, a reliable source has confirmed that none of you know S.
Oh.
They are still together.
Yeah! Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lily Reinhart and Cole Sprouse are still together.
I'm a Riverdale freak, so I... Luke Perry's in the Quentin Tarantino movie, right?
I got a little bit.
No kidding.
I was so bummed out when I saw him on the screen.
How long is he on for?
Not very long. Yeah. Just a little bit, a little part. But I was like, oh, man.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It would have been so cool for him.
Was it Brad Pitt or was it Leo? I think it was Leo, mainly.
They both were freaking out.
We're just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can't believe he's here.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. Because he and Brad don't share any scene, don't share the scene, but Leo and Luke do.
Okay.
But I was like, oh, man.
I know.
Forgot about that.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's sad. Okay. Well, anyhow, just thought we'd share those bits of information with you. I would also like to share some tickets with you. Philly Burger Brawl. We just spoke to Rob Wasserman a little while ago, who's the creator of the whole Philly Burger Brawl. It's coming up Sunday, September 15th at the Navy Yard. And I'll take call number 15 at 215-263-WMMR. Now, there's a special early bird ticket sale for just $30. Normally, it costs $45, but this only goes until Friday. But if you go to Burger, you can go to WMMR.com. The details are right there. In fact, I'm looking at the link to it right there. So just go to WMMR. You can get the special cheaper price. And this is all going to charity, by the way. It is programs. The proceeds benefit literacy programs through technology. In underserved neighborhoods in the Philadelphia School District. So 215-263-WMMR. We'll give away those tickets right now. And thank you again to BurgerFi and M2O for bringing the burgers by this morning. Awesome. We will be back in just a second. Make sure you stay with us.
Attention, campers.
With so many rock shows coming to BB&T Pavilion in August, MMR figures we'll just pitch our tent and stay the whole month. 9 killer rock concerts creates the opportunity for MMR's first rock residency. Hart and Joan Jett. Korn and Alice in Chains. The Smashing Pumpkins. MMR's got complete concert coverage and lots of chances to win your way in. For a complete rundown on MMR's rock residency in August and a chance at exclusive prizes and backstage experiences, check WMMR.com.
While we were away for vacation, I should say, I got a number of shout-out requests.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I'd like to make good on those. I don't get to them all. I do apologize from time to time just to remind people. I do my best to get to them, and sometimes I get lost in the shuffle, but I do what I can. So let me read a couple of these. Hey, Preston, my fiance Samira's birthday is on August 3rd, and I'd like to send her a long-deserved shout-out.
Isn't that the girl from The Ring?
Samira?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Ooh. I never knew that. He said, I grew up listening to Preston and Steve working for my dad the summer that I introduced Samira to the podcast shortly after we met during our freshman year at Penn State.
Oh.
And ever since then, she and I have listened to just about every single podcast episode over the last 5 years. And I know how you are about getting an exact date with these. So regardless of when you actually get around to reading it, we'll hear it. Happy birthday, Samira. And that is from Chris Howley. So a shark, please. Thank you, Howley. That's what they call people in Hawaii that are that are non-locals. Howley.
That was like a shubi.
A shubi, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Oh, it's Samara. Samara's the girl from The Ring. Yeah.
Oh, Samara. Okay.
No, you got it right. And
all right. Hey, here's somebody who needs help. This is the Salem County Humane Society. And I got this from Tammy Stella, who's on the fundraising committee. And she said, first off, I want to say thank you for doing what you do. I have a situation I wanted to see if you guys could help me. I volunteer for a local animal shelter in Carneys Point, New Jersey, and we have a hard luck case with a dog that is in dire need of help. She was found on the side of the road. We named her Grace, Amazing Grace, Gracie. The shelter got involved, took her to the vet. Foster mom stepped in. The dog gets sick and is taken to the hospital. She came out of the hospital, and she's back in again, and the vet bills are going through the roof. And we've been pretty successful so far getting donations from Facebook. As a matter of fact, we're at almost $7,000, and we're trying to reach her story out further. And I was hoping that you guys would help us spread the word out and help us raise some more funds. So I'm doing that very thing right now. So if you can help, contact the Salem County Humane Society.
Yeah.
And that's all that I have on that. So that's more of a butt plug, actually.
It is.
I'm going to give a little plug-a-rooney.
For the dog lovers.
Here's a text says, morning, or not a text, it's an email. Morning, Presbo. was hoping I could get a shout out to my for my girlfriend's birthday this year. It's on the 16th of July.
Yeah.
But anytime you can get to it, the next year is fine. Ha ha. She's amazing. I appreciate everything she does for me. Her name is Alex. She's a big fan. We listen every day. Love you guys. And that's from Joe Reeves, the ghillie suit guy from The Christmas Miracle. So here's a shart. There you go.
We're knocking him off here.
Wanted to reach. Here's another one. Want to reach out, request a shout out in the Borat voice for my wife, Montana, for her birthday.
Yeah, get my favorite Borat clip.
My wife. Her birthday is on July 26th. She recently got back into you guys, and now at least once a day she will say, yeah, a cup. If the word cup or couple comes up. It might not make Nick laugh, but it cracks us up constantly. Thanks for making work move by faster for the both of us every day. Rage on, and that's from Joe Elwell. So that's for his wife, Montana. Go ahead.
Yeah, guys. A couple.
Yep.
And on weekends, travel to Capital City and watch your ladies while they make a toilet.
By the way, so the I paid homage to a Nick clip while I was in Hawaii. Did you guys get the video I sent?
No.
You probably didn't watch it, you bastards. I sent it out.
I'm pretty sure I watched
it. I saw it because you sent it to me separately.
Yeah.
But I was in and out of cell service when I think you said it the first time, and I didn't get it.
So it's at sunset. We were at Yokohama Bay.
Yep.
And the sun is setting, and did you watch the whole thing?
I'm pretty sure I did. I'm very forgetful.
All right, so anyhow, it pans across this beautiful sunset.
All right, I did see that.
Onto the beach. Well, did you see what I wrote on the sand?
Yeah.
No. Oh, well, that's the whole reason.
I was watching it. Okay.
It says Nana Puya on it.
Yeah.
Oh! Yeah.
So I had written in the sand Nana Puya. So
I don't have that.
You don't have that?
No,
Steve has that.
Steve's the Nana Puya.
It was the closest thing from the show that sounded kind of Hawaiian.
It does. So
I put it there.
People have asked me, and I have no idea what I was saying.
Nana Puya.
You were agreeing with something that somebody was saying. Like, you were, like, animated, and we were like,
Nana Puya.
So I'm trying. It's almost like, no, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess so.
Nana
Baya. You threw a buh or poo in there.
Right. Nana Baya.
It sounds Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Nana Baya.
I'll see if I can figure out where that was.
All right. Another shart out.
Nana Baya is one of my favorites because it definitely does have a fully Hawaiian sound to it. It's rare that the gibberish actually sounds like something legitimate.
Actually, here's somebody commenting on the Steve-isms that we did a little while back. This is from Jill, and she wanted to point out one. She said, I was surprised nobody on the text message mentioned border collieing.
Yes.
This is a fairly recent Steve-ism, but I've noticed it almost daily in the last few months. Before Steve's usage, I had never heard the term border collie as a verb, but in true Steve fashion, I knew exactly what he was describing.
Thank you.
Steve, am often called out for my unusual turns of phrases and sounding like someone born in the 20s. And I appreciate his ability to use these $10 words, especially in conversation that might otherwise be considered uncouth. So thank you.
And parsimonious means cheap.
Means cheap?
Yes. You read that word earlier, and I don't think we addressed it, so there we go.
Marissa, do you have that clip? Where's Marissa? Oh, there she is.
Where is she? Someone's taken her.
You had that clip that you mentioned the other day? Okay.
Somebody
had sent in a question as to, or the fact that Gary Lauer, the first time we ever spoke to him was on one of the drunk days.
Yeah.
Oh.
Marissa found it.
Wow.
Yeah, she found the clip.
The absolute first time?
The very first time that we spoke to Gary Lauer. And so she found it. You ready for this?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
And he's doing the right thing. You stay at home.
Yeah, there you go.
Stay at home.
Let me go to Gary.
Drink alone. Hey, you know what? Clean your gun.
How you doing?
Oh, God. Let you guys know I'm a loyal listener.
Yeah.
And I'm going to the Sammy Hagar show tomorrow.
Beautiful.
And I'm getting fired up with you guys today. I set my alarm clock with you. I got a bottle of cheap tequila.
Nice.
A case of Schaefer.
Listen how relaxed he said.
I know. He was still working for the law firm at that time.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm going to be sitting on the toilet a little while.
Beautiful. Eat a steak while you're doing that.
Hey, make sure you say that in English.
Of course. Wow. All right, my friend. Take care, brother.
Hey, listen, you're right. Can you just give me a shout-out to me out of Rocks for Gary?
Did it.
Oh, did
you?
Yep. Thank you, guys.
Enjoy
the show tomorrow.
All right. He's already started on the Schaefer's.
He's
Uniata
Rocks.
He made six yesterday.
Wow, that was like a normal phone call.
Yeah. That was really weird.
Wow, that was.
Yeah, Shotgun Steve Morrison. And, yeah. Yeah.
The quieter side of Gary Lauer.
Yeah. Many is the time I'll sit here looking out the window, the various birds that pass by. Life is beautiful if you really stop and embrace it.
This guy Ryan had tweeted out. This guy Ryan had tweeted out, I think I found the first Gary Lauer call.
He's right.
Call in on Drunk Day 2006, right at the 24-minute mark, a familiar voice calls in saying that he took off for the day so he can drink with Kathy and Nick. And he then asked for a shout out to Gary and Juniata Park. So there you go.
We should chop up some of the Gary stuff with the Bachelorette stuff.
Oh, my God.
I just want you to say I love you. Can you give Juniata a shout out?
Yeah.
2006?
Yeah. Wow. We were just talking about days past.
He's the same age Will Smith was in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
It's 21 years ago.
Is it? Was it?
13.
Oh, my God. I stopped to do the math. I'm like, what's that?
That's 50 years ago.
Wouldn't surprise me. I have two more shout outs.
Okay.
Nana Puya.
It says the subject matter says happy birthday, butt love love face. Okay.
Okay.
My boyfriend and I are longtime listeners way back in the Y100 days. Friday, July 19th. So I got this stuff after we left for vacation. Is his 31st birthday, and I would love it if you could give him a shout out. We've been together for almost 10 years. He's my best friend and one of the best humans I know. He's recently been transitioning careers and working his fanny off. I want him to know his fanny.
You can't use that kind of language on the radio.
I want him to know how proud of him I am and how much I and our dog, Dasha, appreciate and love him. Thank you so much, Preston. That is from Kristen, a.k.a. Face. So here you go. Shout out. And then one more.
Right. And then I have something else. I think.
Okay. And it says, hey, Preston, my boyfriend's a huge fan and listen to your show every day and podcast when you aren't live. His birthday is on Monday, July 22nd. We recently moved out on our own and are basically house poor. Mm. So I can't afford to buy him anything, but I know a shout out for his birthday would be better than anything that I could ever buy him. So please let me know if you can make this happen. Thank you so much for your time. Warm regards. And that is from Emily Romano.
Ooh.
The long-lost sister.
Here's a shout-out for her boyfriend. There you go.
I wonder if she doesn't wear pants as well.
And it doesn't say his name on here anywhere. No, it doesn't. Okay. So you know who you are.
It looks like maybe it was created on Wednesday, August 15th, 2018. So this is the... The clip.
The creation clip of Nana Puya.
We may be able to go back in time here. I may be able to undo this.
You're right, Casey. When was the first time Nana Puya was heard on your airwaves?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do not have the ability to go back and unedit these things. So Marissa may be able to.
Less chatter, more platter.
Marissa's got her finger up. Got her finger up. She wants to talk.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Maris.
Every once in a while, we have listeners who are so awesome and will send us clips. Like, they'll catch it, that we'll miss it. But, guys, if you ever do that, send the whole clip so that 5 years from now, when we go back to play it, we'll know where the whole thing came from.
Here's a pretty good theory on, though. Somebody saying that maybe he was trying to say, no, but yeah.
I think that makes sense.
Right, yeah.
No, but yeah.
But it came out, Hold on. 1, 2, 3.
Let me try to enjoy. Okay, right. Ready?
1, 2, 3.
Oh,
my God.
Well, you guys are all way off.
Okay. See, because I have a delay on this touchscreen here.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
That was pretty good.
All right, one more time.
1, 2, 3. Oh, you're jumping in a little bit.
One more time.
1, 2, 3.
Nana Puya.
Nana Puya.
All right. Nana Puya.
Listen, I know we were on vacation and it was a Saturday, but everybody but Casey and Kathy forgot my birthday too. So,
oh,
happy birthday to me while we were gone. It was July 20th, and it was the day.
Oh.
Yeah,
I totally forgot, and also didn't know.
No, well, you knew, but you forgot.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Wait, I have somebody wanted
the 50th anniversary of the moon landing.
Somebody wanted me to mention, okay, it is Ashley, who has cut my hair before,
ooh,
has the same birthday as Nick, and wanted me to wish, oh, a happy birthday to Nick Knappenberger.
Nick Knappenberger.
Oh. Yeah. So,
Grange, Casey, today is Nick Knappenberger's birthday. Could you please play the origin sounds from Nana Puyah?
Nana Puyah!
Thank you, Casey. As I sit here decomposing in my home while my wife refuses medical attention for me, she asks, can you play Tie a Yellow Ribbon?
Hey, so you were on vacation. You were away on your birthday. Did you do anything special for it?
Lone Pine, California, which is a little town near Alabama Hills, and went out to a Mexican restaurant. I went to a lot of Mexican restaurants when I was in California.
Yeah.
But it,
you must have been crapping all over the parks.
I did crap in a park. I think we mentioned this right before vacation, but we took the trowel out, and we were in Kings Canyon National Park, and we were camping, doing some overnight hiking, and there's no bathrooms there, so you gotta poop in a hole.
You know what? My wife, while we were on vacation, she was so excited because whenever we go on vacation, I didn't know this, she gets constipated.
Dude, okay, so I know somebody that...
This time, she was able to poop freely, and she was such a happy person.
I wonder,
you know someone who's the same way?
And I don't want to say who it is because I kind of think it's embarrassing enough for me to, like, say it on the air, but, like, I was with this person, and they hadn't gone stinkies in, like, 5 days.
Do you think the plane has anything to do with it? The pressurization and the plane?
No, because I know somebody who has the exact same problem, and it's not always when they fly.
You think the pressure sort of seals up your butthole?
I think it's when you're away from home, you're staying in a hotel, and how you're eating. It's got to be has something to do with the food.
Maybe, because you do eat a little different.
You're not cooking, you're not in your house, you're eating out more often.
Yeah. But do you think there's enough people that this...
I don't know.
Have you heard it enough times that there's merit to it, maybe, that it happens?
My friend, it happens every single time.
Travel constipation?
Yep. And to Rochelle as well.
Mm-hmm. So she was, like, crapping like a champ.
Everything was moving perfectly. And
she was going cock-a-pee-pee-poo-poo.
And she wasn't, like, you know, she didn't have, like, you know, uncontrollable diarrhea or anything like that.
But even like taking like a laxative doesn't help, because I know for this person that I'm talking about, they were taking laxatives and just nothing.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's it might be psychosomatic somehow or another, that you've just been, your body convinces you, your mind convinces your body not to poop.
Any
I don't know.
Schedule shift can cause issues like that for people.
Here we go. There's an article that was just put up on our monitors. Vacation constipation. Vacation constipation.
Vacation. I can't take a dump.
Is real, it says. Here's how to keep it from ruining your next trip.
So what do they say? A GI doctor explains why so many people get so backed up away from home.
Can you, we're just going to have to read this live on the air. If you'll scroll that up, that'd be great.
Is there a woman doing push-ups?
Yeah.
Oh, there's okay.
And there's a pop-up ad and all these wonderful things. Yes.
Okay. Subscribe to Beaver Magazine.
collapse that ad hit no thanks. Thank. There you go. All right. It says, what's going on? It's called vacation constipation, a.k.a. travel constipation. And experts say it's super common, even if you're the type who never has trouble pooping. So why does this strike you when you travel? A lot of times, it's just the change in routine.
There we go.
Coupled with the extra stress of traveling, says gastroenterologist Vijay Rao, MD, assistant professor of medicine at the University of Chicago School of Medicine. Vacation constipation can start while you're in transit. Taking a long road trip or plane ride often means limited access to bathrooms, especially the clean and comfortable variety. Once you're settled into your room, it's still not quite... It's still not quite home, so your bowels might be feeling shy. So it's like, the pee shyness, I guess.
Yes.
Dietary changes are also a major factor, Kathy, since you're probably eating different foods than you do at home.
Like a lot of Mexican.
Sleep disruptions, especially if you changed time zones or ended up on a lumpy pull-out sofa, can also impact your ability to poop regularly, as research has found an association between sleep disturbances and bowel symptoms. And then one more says, while
vacation constipation isn't the worst thing that can happen to you while you're away from home. It's not exactly fun. Luckily, there are ways to prevent it or get your bowels moving again if it doesn't strike. And then there's a three-part plan. I'm just going to read the headlines of this. It says, before your trip, consider probiotics. In transit, get out of your seat often. And at your destination, move, eat, and drink lots of water. Hang on. Let me go to Brittany. Hey, Brittany, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. Are you a doctor?
No, I worked for a doctor at a weight loss clinic, and one of my patients there claimed that every time she traveled for work, she couldn't go to the bathroom until she came home and had Wawa coffee.
Okay.
That's wild.
And so yes. it was just going to work that she couldn't do it?
No. She would travel for work out of the country.
She would travel. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she, no matter where she went, even if it was in the States, if she didn't have Wawa coffee, she couldn't go to the bathroom.
Interesting.
Well, coffee is sort of a natural laxative, isn't it?
I've always heard it gets things moving.
Yeah.
But hers had to be brand specific?
Yep.
Okay.
And it was the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Which means I sometimes can't control my sphincter.
Thank you, Brittany.
All right.
Which I guess that means that could be psychosomatic, too. It's got to be that particular brand.
Which means I sometimes can't control my sphincter.
Sometimes I have to wear a diaper when I go to school.
Sometimes I poop my pants, so I have to wear a diaper to school.
I just made an egg in my pants.
Oh, man. See, I'm always worried that, you know, like I was hiking and stuff like that. I'm like, man, if I have to go poop while I'm in the middle of this stupid national park.
You never have a problem not pooping.
Well, that's the problem, right?
I never have a problem pooping. Yeah.
That's him in the in the canyon telling everyone.
All right, I'm going to join in on the poop conversation for once.
Cafe!
The house that we rent in Montauk for vacation has heated water in its toilets.
Oh, why?
I have no idea.
So you can make pasta.
So uncomfortable going to the bathroom.
Where were we when this happened recently? Weren't we someplace as a group where there was heated water in a toilet?
Was it in London?
Did it have a bidet attachment, Kathy?
No, it didn't. And it's only the two downstairs toilets. The two upstairs toilets are not heated.
We stayed at the Ritz-Carlton in Waikiki. Our toilet, Steve, you would have taken home with you.
Yeah.
It not only had a bidet, which oscillated or pulsed, and you could control the
I love it.
The strength at which the pressure at which the water came out. It also had a heated toilet seat, and it had a dryer on it too.
Yeah, to dry out your butthole.
It would blow dry your ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Real quick, Kathy,
it got 5 stars from Hope Solo's butthole.
So I took it out. I couldn't figure out how to work it until like the last couple of days. So I took it out for a spin, and you're used to it now because you have your own bidet at home.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it first hit my sphincter, it's like, oop! You know, I mean, it freaked me out a little bit.
It is. So I'm using its regular toilet water temperature. So it can be a little jarring initially if it's cooler. But it never, even in the winter, or it doesn't, it's never cold. But I honestly find I feel a lot cleaner post business.
But this had the like I said, oscillating. So it would move. It would move around in circles.
Oh, yeah.
Really
or
got you clean.
Pulsing. And you would hear it going, dip, 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 like that. And it would not only oscillate and pulse, but it could move up and down the crack as well. It had all these controls. I actually told my wife, I'm like, we need to get one of these. It's probably a $5,000 toilet, but
yeah. They are, because actually I was pricing them out, and that's when I went with the $110 attachment on Amazon.
Right. Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is that mine won't pulse up and down. I can increase the strength, but I just simply jockey back and forth.
Yeah.
Kat, how did you find out that the water was heated?
Because when you sit down, your ass is burning.
You actually feel
the toilet. The toilet seat.
If the lid is down, when you lift it up, there's like condensation on the lid. Yeah.
So you can steam your vagina while you're
there. Yeah, I did.
So I remember where it was for us. And I don't know if any of you guys else noticed it, but it was the condos for Cardboard Classic outside of Jack Frost. Did anybody else have a heated toilet there?
No.
Oh, I don't remember
It was absolutely warm.
You just have a hot ass.
No. When you sat down on the toilet at those condos in Jack Frost, it was right by, because we have those big rooms with the giant hot tubs, which are really nice. It was a heated toilet, I swear to God.
Really?
I guess I could understand, like, maybe that has something to do with the pipes freezing or whatever, but in the dead of summer?
I know why. If you want to make steak, it was on your toilet.
Right.
Heated water or heated seat?
Heated water.
Oh, wow.
Which was the odd thing.
I never noticed that.
Okay. Mm-mm. Well, next year when we do Carver Classic, check it out.
Yeah.
Stick your butt in.
Why would the water have to be heated?
I don't know.
Not unless you are, unless you're making spaghetti in the toilet.
For tea.
Yeah.
That's
tea.
And listen, we rent the same house every
don't
year.
Don't raise the lid. It's steeping.
So it's like this every year. It's intentional.
Okay.
For whatever reason.
It's not a novelty.
Right.
Do you guys spread your butt cheeks before you sit down?
Oh, jeez.
Just in general or on the toilet?
on the toilet specifically.
No.
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 Yeah, me.
Do you?
No, 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 no.
Me either.
No. I was asking for a friend.
I don't need to. They kind of do it on their own, I guess.
There is a point in the yoga class where they tell you to move the flesh from your bottom. Push it out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's basically spread your butt cheeks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Move the flesh from out your bottom.
Now Yolan will come up from behind you.
Boom.
Boom.
I'm going to go to Bill.
Nana Puya.
It's a yoga.
Nana Puya.
Nana Puya.
Bill, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up, man?
Not much. I heard you guys talking about the changing habits for, vacationing. And I had to throw a comment out there of my experience. I went on you called it an extended vacation. It was actually a mandatory vacation.
Okay, the state decided you should go on this vacation.
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
So for the first leg of the journey, I spent 2 weeks over at the county jail.
All right.
And then after that, I got shipped over to Graterford for the first month.
Wow.
You were my neighbor, yeah.
In that time, I did not do a number two.
You didn't have a bowel movement for how long?
30 days.
Whoa.
Is that even genetically?
It is.
Is it?
Yeah, my sister was having, when she was going through this diverticulitis, it was easily 15 days or something like that. So
I, okay.
Don't
you get poison? It doesn't.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
If you've ever seen the facilities, you'll understand why.
Let me ask you, did you have, Bill, did you have one of those toilet sink deals that they have in all the prisons? The sink is attached. It's basically the back of the toilet.
Montgomery County Jail has one, and all the newer ones upstate have them. But Graterford is old. I mean, Graterford is one step above a dungeon.
Okay.
So they actually had old porcelain toilet and sink. They were separated.
Okay.
But I don't think they've been maintained or cleaned in at least 10 or 15 years.
With that separate sink and toilet arrangement, you had no room to put out your yoga mat.
there's also no separation.
Yeah.
In your cell, you've got this thing hanging on the wall by the door.
Right.
And especially when you're being classified or your first induction at Graterford, you're in a cell with some other guy for about, 20 hours a day. So
it takes
not the most opportune time.
If you're poop shy or any issue with that, that's
you got to get over that. Yeah,
I mean, how good at a certain point you just have to go. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah. Once I got more established, when I got to the facility that I spent the rest of my sentence at, and got more kind of dug in, it became obviously more regular, but it was still a lot less. Probably about 2 a week.
I wonder if Cosby's dealing with this.
Mm. Haven't pooped in 6 months.
Thank you, Bill. He might be. I don't know.
Just waiting for one little pudding pop to come out. Nothing.
That guy's name was Bill, by the way.
He's doing an impression.
All right.
I got to come up with a different voice, or else Preston and Steve will know.
Yeah, my name is Bill.
All right, I need to wrap this up because Bill doesn't like us. Bill Weston doesn't like us to go on about excretory functions. So why don't we talk about burgers?
Burgers.
Philly Burger Brawl.
Yeah.
I got another pair of tickets. I'll take caller number 18 at 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. And let's set you up with that. It's going to be on September 15th. All right, and I'll give you some of the details. We do have to break. I'll come back and give you some more of that information. And about Tattoos Day today, your chance to end up possibly with an ink master tattooing you.
Amazing.
And we are talking about James Vaughn doing that. So text word tattoo to 39333. You have to be available to come in next week to participate in that. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Here we go. Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Join Marissa Magnata Wednesday from 5 to 7 for the Sips Happy Hour at Dilworth Park. Enjoy $6 effin' vodka cocktails, $5 wine, $4 beer, and half-priced appetizers. Every Wednesday from 5 to 7 through August 28th. Every sip has a story. Find out more at ccdsips.com. Track down the MM Army to win tickets as MMR rocks Papa Roach with Asking Alexandria and Bad Wolves on August 7th at the Met Philly. Some tickets remain via Ticketmaster.com.
93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
I think I crapped my pants.
Very nice. I wanted to mention the Burger Brawl coming up on September 15th. Our buddy Rob brought in burgers with our friends Burger Fi and M2O who are participating this year. There's a special promo code that you can use. It'll save you $15. And you can go to burgerbrawl.com and use the promo code RINGSIDE. And you'll get it for $30 instead of the normal $45. And that's good till, when is it good till?
The second.
Second, yeah.
I believe, yeah.
Yep, so... make sure that you do that. And also thanks to Sean, the GM of Burger Fi Philadelphia. And they use top 1% of certified American Black Angus beef. Never exposed to steroids, antibiotics, growth hormones, chemicals, or additives ever. And they also have a variety of vegan and vegetarian options. Veggie-Fi Burger, crispy quinoa, and fresh-cut veggie burger. The Beyond Burger as well, 100% yeah. plant-based burger. Early bird tickets are on sale now to get those at burgerbrawl.com. So thank you, BurgerFi and M2O. We're going to do another run of the Bizarre File. Let's get to it.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
The B-File this morning is brought to you by Window Nation. Window Nation is making their summer sizzling sales event better. Buy one window, get one free, plus no money down, no payments, and no interest for 2 years. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Here's a bit of a follow-up story. A man whose dead body was found at a supermarket in January in Iowa has been identified as an employee who disappeared 10 years ago.
10 years ago?
Yeah, authorities said that they found this guy's body behind the walk-in cooler.
It must have... like a skeleton at that point.
It was. So authorities said that they'd identified the man as Larry Eli Moncada, who was 25 years old in November 2009 when he was reported missing. The Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation identified him using DNA collected from his biological parents.
What about his name tag?
An autopsy showed no signs of trauma and the death has been ruled accidental.
Jeez.
The decomposing body was discovered the morning of January 24th as contractors were removing the former No Frills supermarket. Police at the time said the body appeared to have been there for years. The grocery store has been closed for about 3 years. Police say that Moncada's parents reported him missing November 28, 2009, when he became upset and ran out of their home. He was 25 years old at the time and was employed at No Frills Supermarket at the time of his disappearance. According to an officer, they said it was a snowstorm at the time. He left with no shoes, no socks, no key.
No service.
No keys, no car. Moncada was not scheduled to work at the time that he would have entered the supermarket, and management said that it was not uncommon for employees to enter and exit the store when they weren't on their shifts. Police said the former employees said that it was common for workers to be in the space on top of the coolers, which was used for storage. Investigators believe that he went into the store after leaving his home, climbed up on top of the coolers, where he fell into a gap measuring about 18 inches between the back of the cooler and the wall and became trapped.
Oh, wow.
They said... it's about a 12-foot fall, and the noise of the freezer units also could have made it difficult to hear any cries for help. So the dude got wedged or stuck back in there and starved or whatever.
What a horrible way to die. So 3 years there, but he was missing for another 7 years, which meant he was probably back there.
No, he was missing for 7, and then it was empty for 3, and then they found him when they were getting ready to tear the place apart.
So he probably was, obviously, we assume, for a full 10 years back there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you not smell a decomposing body?
Don't know.
Maybe it was actually kept cold by the freezer unit.
You would think at some point in 10 years, someone would look behind to maybe clean or,
you know. Did you know there's a dead body back there?
Yeah, so... contractors found him while tearing apart
wow
the freezer units.
That's amazing. Horrible, horrible way to go.
Probably a dead body, in Chuck Shore house in that one room that he's never gone into.
Is that to believe there's a dead body in there?
You know, we should do that as a topic sometime. Is there a part of your house that you've never even looked into?
Yeah.
You've been there for years and years. Chuck has a Shore house, and he's got this little shrunken, almost like Being John Malkovich hallway.
Really?
That leads to a door that he's never opened. He's never been
what?
Into. It's his tiny little door. Yeah,
come
I kid
play
you
with
not.
Us, Chuck.
Marissa?
Come play with us.
I went in.
Oh, no.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, my God.
You're the perfect size for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I stopped by Chuck's house, and I had to, like, climb on a water heater and then something else and, like, crouch down. But on the other side of the door, it's regular size. So it was, like, 8 feet tall.
Wait, I'm so confused. I need
it's
a
weird.
Picture of this.
It's hard to explain.
Let me ask you something. Is there a wonderful chocolate factory with all sorts of incredible confections and Oompa Loompas?
You have to unlock the door by going...
I'll never tell.
But wait, what's on the other side of the door?
It was just like a little hallway space, and it backs up to a window. So they added on to the original house and just had this little dead space that they never did anything with.
Chuck is the dreamer of the dream.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe his kids hadn't gone in there.
Yeah, no kidding.
I was
disappointed. First thing I would have done if I was a kid.
Yeah.
Now, I told you guys that like that there was a one room in my house growing up that it was a little
devil
bit,
worshiper.
Little bit scary.
Yes.
I was back at the house a couple of months ago. The new owners were there, and they did a whole bunch of stuff, and I walked through the house, and I was in that back room, that scary room, and they had shut the door. I had never seen that side of the door, because I was always too scared to be in that room with the door
still
shut.
Still mortified you.
And I had, for 30 years, I'd
That's
never
wild.
Seen that other side of that door.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It can impact you greatly.
Is there anything freaky?
Well, there were stickers all over it. I was like...
It said sea mussels.
It said sea mussels on it. That's a callback from yesterday.
All right. Here's another story, and this is a heavy news story that's unfolding in Canada, but it's pretty weird. The threat of a polar bear attack has become a reality for a huge Canadian police and military contingent searching for the teenage duo suspected of shooting dead Australian tourist Lucas Fowler and his U.S. girlfriend and university botanist. Did
this
you hear about
is a,
this?
A crazy story.
Yeah. So the manhunt for Cam McLeod and Briar Schmigelski, who were only 19 and 18 years old, continued on Saturday with the addition of a Royal Canadian Air Force CC-130H Hercules, which is a big, cargo plane, and personnel searching the unforgiving wilderness near Gillam, a remote area in northern Manitoba. The RCMP distributed a photo on Saturday of a polar bear encountered by searchers. McLeod and Schmigelski have been on the run since the bodies of Fowler and his girlfriend, China Dees, were found dead on the side of the highway on July 14th. Locals around Gillam predicted the teenagers would face extreme challenges. Polar bear and black bears, wolves, irritating black flies and mosquitoes, dense scrub and swamps if they did, as suspected by the RCMP, enter the bushland on Monday night after setting fire to their stolen RAV4.
And they're saying, Preston, that these black flies are bloodsuckers.
Yeah,
and
so,
they swarm you.
So these guys are going in severe wilderness, and they're looking for them. The nearby town of Churchill is on a polar bear migration route.
Yay.
The Canadian government, desperate to catch the fugitives immediately, approved the request for military support. So we'll have to see
these
where
these guys
this
might
goes.
Be goners at this point.
Yeah. All right, and then one last story, and we will wrap up. Two men became trapped in a shipping container full of cocaine in the port of Antwerp on Wednesday, the hottest day ever recorded in Belgium. As the heat rose, they made a desperate call to police on the emergency line. It took officers 2 hours to find the container in the huge port, Western Europe's main gateway for smuggled drugs. Guns drawn, police opened the door, and the exhausted pair, stripped to the waist, gratefully gave themselves up. They were going to die in there.
We're cocaine smugglers.
A social media video of the arrest shows port employees pouring water on the suspects to cool them as afternoon temperatures skirted over 100 degrees. And according to a statement, the men had entered the container to remove drugs. The pair appeared in court Thursday and were remanded in custody. So it was so bad they had to call police to come and get them.
Could have easily died.
Yep. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file at the moment. Let's give away another pair of Burger Brawl tickets. In fact, it's the last pair that I have. And we'll take call number 20 at 215-263-WMMR. You can head to the Burger Brawl on the 15th of September. And don't forget that M2O will be there, along with basically 60 burger restaurants.
It's amazing.
And M2O is shorthand for made to order, offers a unique opportunity to design your own burger, whether you want a bare bones burger or a burger with the works. M2O allows you to customize your burger any way you like. And don't forget that early tickets are on sale now for the Philly Burger Brawl at burgerbrawl.com. Call number 20-215-263-WMMR. Going to take care of you. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
If you want a Preston and Steve tattoo, you have to try and enter to win, and it's easy to do. You just got to text the word tattoo to 39333. And a special day today, we're going to give away two Preston and Steve tattoos. One of them is a $350 gift certificate to world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo, South 4th Street in South Philly. You go there, you get the Preston and Steve tattoo done at the shop. Or you could be chosen to be here in our studio next Tuesday, as we have a gentleman by the name of James Vaughn. He is from Ink Masters Season 1 and 7.
That's very cool.
And he will actually give you a tattoo. His specialty is Japanese-style tattoos. I'm looking at his work right now. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And he's going to be in town for the 10th Annual Wildwood Tattoo Beach Bash, August 9th through the 11th at the Wildwoods Convention Center. And there are going to be 400 of the world's best tattoo artists there. For information, you can visit villainarts.com. Get all the details. So just a few minutes left on that. So text the word tattoo to 39333. We're going to do today's lesson question, and we're going to give away a $50 Rita's gift card. The question we're going to go with today: in the futuristic sci-fi Netflix movie I Am Mother, they cracked an egg and did what? 215-263-WMMR. In the futuristic sci-fi next Netflix movie I Am Mother, they cracked an egg and did what? If you know the answer, you should call right now, 215-263-WMMR. You just might win. And we're going to do the trash while you're calling it.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right. What are the stories you have for us today, Mr. Morrison?
Well, Bachelorette host Chris Harrison announcing he will not be able to attend the wedding of Bachelor couple Ashley Iaconetti and Jared Haben. Harrison says he did everything he could, but was unable to get out of a desire not to be there. John Gosselin, formerly of John and K Plus 8, was seen out at Rehoboth Beach over the weekend. Gosselin reportedly soaked up some sun while wrestling seagulls for half-eaten garbage.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Leonardo DiCaprio laughing off tabloid rumors that his girlfriend Camilla Maroney is pregnant with his child. DiCaprio is calling the story fall-down funny, especially since Camilla is only 6 years old.
Oh, dear.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we'll see if you know the answer to this. If let's see, in the futuristic sci-fi Netflix movie, I Am Mother, they cracked an egg and did what? We're going to go to John. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, bud, they cracked an egg and did what?
They cracked an egg and had a baby.
You're right. Yes. Had a baby. Hang on a second, John. You just got yourself a $50 Rita's gift card. You can get ready for football season with Rita's newest flavor in honor of the Eagles, and it's called Go Birds Italian Ice. Stop by and check it out today.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Get off my phone, you little pinhead.
All right. I got a couple of stories to run by you. We're going to start with this. Tool. This is a big deal. Tool's revealed that Fear Inoculum will be the title of the band's long-awaited fifth studio album. The name of the LP, which is due out on August 30th, was unveiled on Monday in an Instagram post.
I really hope they go digital because
they are.
They are?
Okay. A full track list and first single for the LP has yet to be unveiled, although the band has been playing two songs reportedly titled Descending and Invincible during its recent live shows.
Both tracks are expected to show up on Fear Inoculum. The band revealed in a second post that its entire recorded catalog will be available on digital and streaming services beginning this Friday.
Well, that's good news.
Awesome.
All four previous studio LPs and the band's 1992 debut EP, Opiate, will be available. And Tool is one of the last holdouts in the music business to keep all of its music out of the digital realm.
And who else is lingering? Is there anybody else? I know AC/DC waited for a while, but they're available.
Yep.
You can't hold the ocean back with a board, as they say.
Yeah,
I don't know who says that, but I agree.
I don't know if there's any holdouts left, but there might be one or two. So
you know, it also gives people the same. I think people. I had an incorrect perception about Tool years ago, and I really like a lot of their stuff.
Yeah,
it's good music.
Yep, agreed. A congressman has called out Metallica after it was revealed that representatives for the band allegedly partnered with concert promoter Live Nation to sell portions of their tickets directly to resellers, denying fans a chance to buy tickets at face value.
What?
Yeah, that's not cool.
You can't do that.
If that's the case, the Billboard obtained, Billboard obtained a recording of an 11-minute phone call from 2017 between Live Nation's U.S. President of Concerts, Bob Rowe, longtime Metallica associate Tony DiCicco.
You bastard!
Or DiCicco, I don't know how you say his last name, and independent promoter Vaughn Millett.
Mm.
During the call, which took place prior to Metallica's massively successful worldwide tour, DiCicco allegedly asked Rue to set aside tickets for resellers. The parties allegedly made a deal with Metallica and Live Nation, each receiving 40% of resale revenue, with the remaining 20% going to those two guys, DiCicco and Millett.
Zeppo and Harpo.
The deal reportedly set aside 4,400 tickets per show, totaling 88,000 tickets. Metallica allegedly partnered with Live Nation again in 2018 to sell tickets directly through resale markets, although representatives for the band told Billboard that the members weren't aware of the deal.
Hmm.
New Jersey Congressman Bill Pascrell addressed this issue before the House Committee on Energy and Commerce, saying, unbeknownst to fans, apparently Ticketmaster and Live Nation were working with Metallica's management to hold back 88,000 tickets and post them directly to resale sites. Live Nation admitted to the scheme last week, and about a dozen artists between 2016 and 17 could still be doing the same, and this is wrong. He's been pushing for ticketing reform for a dozen years, introducing the Better Oversight of Secondary Sales and Accountability in Concert Ticketing Act, in response to similar allegations against Bruce Springsteen.
It's interesting, because we've always asked how things like StubHub, how that all works. I mean, how is that?
Well, I know as I was a season ticket holder for the Sixers, and StubHub was the official reseller. So, like, if I wanted to sell my tickets and I couldn't sell them to, you know, a friend or whatever,
right,
I would have to list them on StubHub. And the problem with that is that in order to make my money back on the tickets, I would have to sell them for more than I bought them for, because StubHub takes a cut.
Yep. Yeah.
And they never really, and it was never a hard line. We take 5% and that's it. Like, some tickets they took 10%, some tickets they took 15%. I didn't care for that.
Moving on, Hailstorm singer, guitarist Lizzie Hale told Heavy Magazine in a new interview that her teachers were not super supportive when she and her brother, drummer Ray J. Hale, had launched the band back in 1997 when she was just 13 years old. She said, all of our teachers would have interventions. We started a rock band, and they would try to tell us, hey, that's actually a stupid idea. You shouldn't be putting all of your eggs in one basket, and you shouldn't be obsessed with a band. You should be looking at going to college. She said, I went to high school where you pretty much were told the same thing. If you signed up to do music or drama, you were always told by teachers, hey, it's good that you want to do this class, but it's not a future.
I don't think it's bad advice.
We had quite a bit of defiance at that point because, I don't know, all of a sudden everything else came second. Well, listen, yeah, you got to be real and tell somebody, listen, the likelihood of having a career, this is pretty slim, but there are other things than, you know, you can still be a musician and not be in a band and make a living, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be a teacher. And
there's always gurning.
And there's gurning if you're good at making odd faces.
Contorting your face.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen somebody play a trumpet and gurning at
yes.
the same time?
Dizzy Gillespie.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it's not just a sex act.
My oldest is, you know, she has shown a real interest in theater. And, yeah. and I love that. And I want to foster that and feed it as much as I possibly can. But at the same time, when you have, like, you know, realistic expectations and, you know, understand that it's, you know, it's tough to have a career.
A parent's job is to let the kid know they're going to fail.
No. No, but, you know, listen, if you're a musician.
Yes.
And I would suggest to you to go to college, major in music, perhaps in English, because if you want to, like, write lyrics or whatever, perhaps.
They'll probably be in English. Yeah,
you would want a command of the language, perhaps.
Have some. Yeah. No, that's all valid advice.
Yep.
No, you know, but I mean, it's a crapshoot. I mean, yeah, we were talking about the kid who won the Fortnite championship for $3 million. No parent in their right minds, you know, hey, we're thrilled you're playing video games for 8 to 10 hours a day. But here you go. You know, you still have to go after the dream, but you have to be logical about it.
More than success, I want my children to have happiness in their lives. So, you know,
the hell's that about?
I don't know.
Happiness,
mm-hmm. Contentment.
One last story. Former Oasis singer Liam Gallagher has released a surprisingly emotional and reflective new single called Once, and the track is the third that Gallagher has shared from his upcoming second solo album, Why Me, Why Not, which arrives September 20th. The song will also be featured in the upcoming feature-length documentary, As It Was, which will be released in the U.S. on September 13th, and chronicles his comeback. So
it's pretty wild
documentary
that he got this emotional and introspective, yeah. Because have you heard it?
They come from space.
Now, he apparently was a fan of the space program.
Yeah.
Here's his call for fighting xenophobia. It's deep.
Yep, that's, hey, unless he can do what he wants, man. And that's your music news. Let's take a break, come back in a second, get ready to wrap the whole thing up, and we will announce our winners for Tattoos Day as well. We'll return in a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Thrice. Shine now. Papa Roach.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
Elevate. On 93.3 WMMR.
You're coming to the end of our program today. You still have a full day ahead of you, most likely. If you're wrapping up, hey, congrats. If not, you're diving into the fray. It's going to be hot out there. If you're outdoors, just keep that in mind. I'm sure you already know it. Sunshine today, 95 degrees. Humidity levels are high. But the good part about it is things change tomorrow. Some afternoon thunderstorms. Temperatures coming down a tad bit. Are high 90. After that, 88 on Thursday with some isolated showers. And Friday, scattered showers, high 83. And then moving into the weekend, we'll be in the high 80s. So.
Yeah, yesterday was hot, and the humidity was up there, but it wasn't oppressive. It wasn't like it was that first week of our vacation, which was horrific.
Yeah, I heard tell it was nasty.
Yes, you were in paradise.
I can't say
tugging on your Nana Puya.
I can't. I may have smiled a little bit when I heard about how hot it was here, and I was missing out on it, but. Yeah, I had a nice cold Nana Puya, and it was all good. Speaking of Nana Puya, where'd Nana Puya go? Where'd he go? Nana Puno.
Yeah, Nana Puna.
I don't know where he is. I want to thank the gang from the Burger Bro.
Yay!
For being here today. And that would include the restaurants BurgerFi and M2O and our friend Rob Wasserman, owner of Rouge on Rittenhouse Square and the founder of the Philadelphia Burger Brawl. There is a special promo code that is good until the 2nd that'll get $15 off of general admission. The Burger Brawl is not until September 15th. Just go to burgerbrawl.com, use the code ringside, and you can take advantage of that.
Smart move would be to go get your tickets. Get your tickets now, especially if you're planning on going. There's an Eagles game that very day.
Night.
Right.
In Atlanta.
Right. So, you know, you can enjoy the whole deal.
That's sage advice, sir. I would agree. Hey, Tattoos Day. That's what it is today. And we have some winners to announce. I'm going to do that very thing right now. Let's start with the $350 gift card to Philadelphia Eddie's.
And is basically the standard Preston and Steve Tattoo Prize, which is a wonderful prize, by the way. That goes to Mr. Jonathan Dangler.
Yay! The Dangler wins.
Who is from Browns Mills, New Jersey. So he's going to head to South Philadelphia, to Philadelphia Eddie's, and they are located on 4th Street, by the way, and get his tattoo done. Now, the person coming in next Tuesday to have a tattoo created by James Vaughn from Ink Master Season 1 and 7. That winner is Jacqueline Vaughn.
Oh.
Jacqueline or Jacqueline Vaughn, and she is from Pennsburg. So congratulations. You're going to be here. And keep in mind, the 10th annual Wildwood Tattoo Beach Bash is August 9th through the 11th at the Wildwoods Convention Center. You can get tattooed by 400 of the world's best tattoo artists.
Wow.
Visit villainarts.com for more details. So we'll meet... we'll meet James next week, and we'll meet the recipient, Jacqueline, and see how the tattoo turns out.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Looking forward to saying hello to Pierre Robert, who has arrived here in our studio.
Looking forward to saying hey, 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 right back to use.
How you doing? How's yous doing?
We's doing goods.
Nice. You're fresh out of the shower.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah.
Squeaky. What shampoo do you use?
Well, I have a variety. I'm on Pureology at the moment.
Me too.
You like Pureology?
Yeah, what color is your bottle?
The brown bottle, it's, which brand? There's several Pureology.
Yeah. Sandalwood.
There's purple, no.
I do the purple.
Okay, there's a purple, there's kind of a lighter goldish, there's a whole bunch of them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I have the brown.
We should shower together.
Well, I'm surprised you guys don't.
As long as we've been together, you would think we would have by now.
Does it make you a champion in the boardroom and the bedroom?
It certainly does. Jeez. I not only shower with it, I drink it every day.
It's an incredible elixir.
Right in my coffee, some shampoo, and you're ready to go.
Shampoo and creamer.
That's
all in
the
one.
Stuff I use.
Have you ever used, is it Hoof and Mane? Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah, I used to use that in high school.
You ever use that, Pierre?
That, isn't that a disease, Hoof and Mane?
No, it's Hoof and Mouth. Oh. Or it's mane and...
It's something, it's for horses. It's for horse hair. They use it to cleanse the horse's hair, but it's supposed to make your hair grow faster.
Yeah.
It just completely dried my hair out.
Really? Oh,
really?
Yeah. Okay. What is it? It's not hoof and mane, because that's too close.
Mane and tail.
Mane and tail. There you go. They don't. Why would they wash the hooves with shampoo? That's just stupid.
Come on. From the people who brought you, let me tell you about white chicks.
Yeah. No, it's mane and tail. That's it. Yeah, my wife has used that before.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'm sure somewhere in that noggin of yours, you got a letter that we can pry out of you.
There's a noggin.
All right, let's do it.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
A as in apple.
All right, and we have... Two letters are going to need five altogether to get you the prize. Two VIP tickets to PFL6, Professional Fighters League. Thursday, August 8th, 7 p.m. at the Ocean Casino Resort in Atlantic City, plus an overnight stay for the night. Don't miss the road to the playoffs. See 12 live fights as light heavyweights and heavyweights compete to clinch playoff berths. And tickets are on sale now at PFLMMA.com/tickets. And the Ocean Casino Resort box office at Ovation Hall. More details at theoceanac.com. So get yourself ready to win that. What's up on the show today, man?
Well, we're going to have workforce blocks of the Killers and of Stone Temple Pilots. And because they're in at the big joint tonight, Iron Maiden, as Mr. Bam Bam says it. And we'll also have tickets for the Smashing Pumpkins and Noel Gallagher and AFI in Camden and more Phillies tickets from me, Mr. Sports, all on a double shot Tuesday edition of the program.
Enjoy, sir.
Thank you. Rock on and sports up.
I want to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Wilmington University. Experience the Wilmu difference by visiting Wilmu. .edu. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International. Tomorrow on the show, Wednesday, so we go live on Fox Good Day. And also, we are going to have Victoria Jeeker and Ali Albini, who are in studio. They appear on Sugar Rush on Netflix.
Oh, yeah!
I know, I've heard about this show.
Yes.
And I forgot who the... I've forgotten all about it.
Yeah, okay. But it's all sorts of, isn't this one, all sorts of wonderful confections and baked goods and candy and all that stuff? It's amazing.
Netflix is doing some really, really cool competition type shows.
That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah, I watched an entire season of glass blowing.
It's amazing. But this one in particular is, it makes you wildly hungry, I'll tell you.
Yeah. All right. So those guys and that stuff and more tomorrow. So that is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Why does it have to be so f***ing hot? Oh, yeah, it's July. The
next message.
The unsung heroes of Philadelphia are our trash men. They're out here dying out here doing this job that we take for granted. And who cares if they spill a little bit of our bag rips and they'll pick it all up. It is brutal what they do. Go out there, give them a bottle of water, maybe take $5 of that bottle of water and hand to them and say thank you. Hats off to them guys.
Next message.
Get the f*** out of the f*** aisle when you see me working. Get your lazy ass and turn the f*** around and go the other f*** way. Don't make me move my f***. We have to get through.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.